We're ready to start the Maimer in Parshas Re'eh, Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. That's page 44. It's in Mekutei Torah Parshas Re'eh, which is translated as see. There is so much to see. It's such a heavy loaded Parsha with so much Chassidus. It's amazing. And every single one of them in Maimonides and Parshas Re'eh is just explosive. This Maimer also speaks for itself. The Maimer was said 199 years ago, in the year Tavkuf Samach Vav, in 1806. And it's just another beautiful mimer, so let's sing. So the pasuk says this week in the parasha, the verse says, "Ki sishma b'koil Hashem elokecha, lishmar as kol mitzvosav." When you will listen to the voice of Hashem your God, let's get a chumash on that. Thank you. Alright, it's over here. In Perek Yud Gimel, the last verse in Perek Yud Gimel. It's speaking about the story of the Irani Dachas. Irani Dachas is a city where most of the people in the city have turned to idolatry. So the means, the things that need to be done to it towards that city. So then it says that that we're now going to take, because everything, all the possessions of that city need to be burnt. And then the pasuk says, "Yidbak b'yatcha me'uma min acherim." You shouldn't take anything from the booty, from whatever is left. "L'man yashuv Hashem mecharoin apoy," so that God's will go back from his anger, and he will give you compassion, and he will have compassion on you, and he will increase you. It seems like when a city angers God in the way of idol worship, it inflames God with a great anger. So if we treat and we do that which we need to do to the city, so then what happens is that God says, "I will, as long as you will, you know, do that which needs to be done," Hashem says, "L'man yashuv Hashem acharei napay," that will calm Hashem's anger, and then he will have compassion upon you. And the pasuk concludes, the next verse, "Ki sishma b'koil Hashem elokecha," when you will listen to the voice of God, your God, "lishmar es kol mitzvosav," to observe all of his mitzvos, "asher anoichi mitzavcha hayom," that I command you today, to do that which is right in the eyes of Hashem. Alright, that's the pasuk. It seems to be a very simple verse, that if we're listening to God and we're fulfilling the mitzvah, doing everything that is correct and straight in Hashem's eyes, so then Hashem will extend His kindness to us. Okay, the Alter Rebbe doesn't really pose any questions over here in the Maimon. He just quotes the pasuk, and right away goes into explaining something, the deeper meaning of the verse. Doesn't really ask any questions. And the other Maimonides that are based in the Maimer, they do point out just to a couple of things that need to be understood in this verse. It says, when you will listen in the voice of God your God, "Bikol Hashem Elokecha," it seems fit that it should have said, Kisishma likol Hashem alekecha. You will listen to the voice of God. You don't listen in the voice, you listen to the voice. As it says in other places, likoy Hashem alekecha. I forgot the verse, but they bring the verse where it says likoy. How come over here it says, when you will listen bikoy Hashem alekecha, in the voice of God? And isn't listening the voice of God lishmar es kol mitzvosa, to observe his mitzvahs? So why does the pasuk have to explain that? Listening to the voice of God means listening to the mitzvahs. So why does it enumerate and say, have to express this and verbalize this, say it in detail, you will listen to the commandments of Hashem? And then what particularly does it mean to do what is straight in the eyes of God? Of course, the mitzvahs are correct in Hashem's eyes. The pasuk seems to be saying something else. You do the mitzvahs, and lastly, say Yasha Be'en Hashem, that which is correct in the eyes of God. The mitzvahs, of course, are correct in Hashem. So if it says already, Lishma is called mitzvah, so then that, of course, is a Yasha Be'en Hashem Alekecha, that's what's correct in God's eyes. So all this is going to be explained in the Maya. Alright, Sishma B'Koyel Hashem Alekecha, when you will listen in the voice of God, your God, Lishma is called mitzvah, in order to observe all of his mitzvahs. Hashem Anoichi Mitzav Chayim, that I command you today. Lastly, say Yasher, to do what is correct. V'yene Hashem Alekecha, the eyes of God, your God, he makes shift. Behold, it says in the Pasuk, Ein Hashem El Yireyav. The eyes of God are to those who fear him. Sorry. It says, Ein Hashem El Yireyav. The eye of God is to those who fear him. In the singular. Ein Hashem El Yireyav. The eye, seeming to refer to one eye of God, that God... God focuses his eye to those who fear him. Kshid, it says another verse, Eine Hashem el tzadikim. The eyes of God is to the tzadikim. So, first of all, what is the connection? Why are you bringing these verses over here? It says the eye of God is to those who fear him, and the eyes of God are to the tzadikim. So, it seems like the Alter Rebbe is bringing these verses because in our pasuk it also speaks about God's eyes. It says, "Lachas hayashar be'enei Hashem alekecha," to do that which is correct in Hashem's eyes. So it's mentioning Hashem's eyes. So the Alter Rebbe says, "They hold it." Talking about the eyes, it mentions two eyes, "Enei Hashem," and not always is two eyes mentioned. Sometimes there's a verse when it speaks about referring to God's eye, and it refers it in the singular. It says, "Be'en Hashem el yedeya," the eye of Hashem, not the eyes. Here it says, Einei Hashem, the eyes of God. The Einei Hashem Alekech. Now there's another verse that says, Einei Hashem El Tzadikim, also referring to the plural, to two eyes. So that needs clarification. What does it mean when it says one eye? And what does it mean when it says two eyes? And why is it an hour verse when it says you will fulfill all the mitzvahs, so you will do that which is correct in the eyes of God? The Inyan Yuvan, and all this will be understood by first introducing some fundamental ideas about Torah and mitzvahs and the service of a Jew in this world. The Torah is called the inner keys. And fear of God is called the outer key. The outer keys. The Amru Shabbos Lamed Beis, the Gemara says in the Masechet Shabbos, on Daf Lamed Beis. It says over there, the Gemara as follows. Kol mi sheyesh bay Torah ve'ein bay yira shamayim. If the person has Torah, but he doesn't have fear of heaven, he doesn't fear God. But he's a scholarly person. He enjoys the Torah. He's a bright human being. And he finds the Torah extremely intellectually challenging. It challenges his mind. It stimulates his brain. So he enjoys learning. So he learns Torah, but he doesn't have fear of heaven. He doesn't necessarily fulfill everything that's written in the Torah. As the Maimer is going to explain, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean someone is a non-observant scholar. Just learns and doesn't observe the mitzvahs. Over here we're referring to someone, of course, is observant, does all the mitzvahs. But there's lacking, he's not working and toiling on fear to reach higher levels of fear of God. Okay, so it's lacking in Yira Shemayim. So the Gemara says over there as follows: Doyim al-Gizbar, he is compared to a to a gizbar, as a shamus, you know, the one in charge, a watchman. A watchman is in charge of a place. It was given over into his hands the inner keys they gave him, but the external keys, the outer keys, they didn't give him. So they gave him, this guy's supposed to be the manager of the estate, the butler. So he's the butler, supposed to take care of the whole place. But they gave him only the keys for the inside, and they didn't give him the keys for the outside. So he doesn't have the outer key. So what good, what benefit does he have from having the inner keys, the keys to the house, if he doesn't have the keys to the courtyard? He can't even get into the estate. He can't go into the place because the doors are locked. So he has the keys. Once he's inside, he has the inner keys to open up the doors into the palace, into the mansion. But the outer keys to allow him into the driveway, that he doesn't have. So he's stuck. So the Gemara says, that's the case. A person studies Torah. Torah gives you the keys to the inner aspect of godliness. It gives you it makes the inner dimension of God accessible to the human being. But in order to get to the inner dimension of God, one has to first access the outer, more external layers, the levels. And to access that comes through fear of God. So if you don't have the fear, so you're stuck, you're learning Torah, you have the keys to something extremely intimate, something extremely deep about God, but you can't get to it. So what good does the key do? So that's why one has to preface his Torah study with fear of God. Primarily, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain that fear of God really is prayer. Davening. Davening is a time when we cultivate the fear, when we develop our fear of Hashem. And then afterwards is Torah study. So Yid needs to have Yerushalayim, primarily through the davening. Davening brings a person extremely close to God, but as high as davening goes, it's only the external keys. Because it only allows a Jew into the courtyard. A person wants to have an intimate relationship, an intimate experience with God, one needs to study Torah. But a person can say, well, if Torah is greater than davening, so why do I need a davening? Why do I need the whole avodah of Yiras Hashem? And no, let me just go straight to the Torah. You can't. Because in order to go into the mansion, you first need the outer keys. So that's what it is. For Bir, Inyan Zen, the explanation of the matter, in a noidah, it is known, Inyan HaMitzvos. It is known, the concept of mitzvahs. The Mach, Pikudin, the 248 commandments, Inun, Remach, Chevadim, the Malk. These are the 248 limbs of the king. Explanation of the matter is as follows. In order to understand this, the Alter Rebbe says we first have to understand what mitzvahs are. In regards to mitzvahs, we know there are 248 mitzvahs. Now, two of these 248 commandments correspond to 248. Why the 248 mitzvahs? So we generally know that the Gemara tells us there are 248 limbs in the human being, organs in the human being. So it's through the performance of the 248 mitzvahs we connect our 248 limbs to Hashem. Being that we want that our to have a comprehensive relationship with God, we want to be connected to Him and with all facets of our being, with our entire being. And therefore, what do we need? So it's not just enough to do one mitzvah. Even though in Tanya, if you learned this week, the specific Tanya of the week, was speaking that every person has to have one mitzvah where he puts all his energy into that one particular mitzvah, where you shine in that mitzvah. That too is special and important. But nevertheless, one cannot say that's the only mitzvah I'm doing. One has to perform all the mitzvahs. Why? Because we have to connect all of our faculties to God. So the mitzvahs, let's say, that relate to the mind, connect our brain to God. The mitzvahs that we do with our physical hands, connect our hands to God. And the mitzvahs that we perform with our legs, connect our legs. So the human being has a wholesome connection with Hashem. And therefore we have 248 mitzvahs corresponding to the 248 origins of man, so that we can connect Hashem in every facet of our being. Fine. However, the Zohar takes us a step further. And the Zohar says that the 248 commandments are not only corresponding to the 248 origins of man, but rather the 248 commandments are considered the 248 organs of the king. Evar and the Malka, they're God's organs. They're not only our organs. and through the performance of a mitzvah with the 248 limbs of the human being, our physical organs, we connect our physical organs and also our spiritual organs, because just like our body has 248 physical organs, so too our body is made to be a faculty for the soul. The soul also has 248 spiritual organs, spiritual powers. So when a human being uses his body to do the mitzvahs, he's taking his physical organs and his spiritual powers, 248 spiritual powers, and connecting them to God, to the 248 organs of God. Now how can we say that God has 248 organs if God is beyond any description, God is not in any image? So what does it mean that Hashem is a var in the mouth, the organs of the king? It means, and that's what the Rebbe is going to explain. Now what does it mean that God has 248 organs? It means that God chooses to transmit himself to us through 248 channels. Just like an organ of the body, just like the organ of a body draws that particular power from the soul into expression, it comes to the organs of the body. Meaning, without a body, the soul without a body has no vessel to express its particular powers. So the soul needs some sort of context of a body through which it expresses. So the body draws these particular, let's say the eye draws forth the potential of seeing from the soul into actuality. It comes through a physical eye. So it draws forth that koyach ha'riya. The ears draw forth the power of hearing into the ears, and that's how it's activated. So too, every mitzvah draws forth a particular aspect and energy of God to us. More than that, it's sort of something like this. When we relate to another human being, when you call out, when you want to communicate with another, with an individual, with any person, so you communicate, you turn your attention to this person standing in front of you. You're looking at the body, and you speak to that person. Now really, it's not the body that you're speaking to, because the body is a lifeless piece of meat. What you're really speaking to is you're speaking to a soul. You're communicating to the personality that's contained within that body, to the spirit that's in the body, to the person that's in the body. But nevertheless, a bodiless soul, even though it's just as real as what as a soul that's vested in the body, but to us it's not. So for example, souls of people that have left this world already, that have departed from their physical body. So even though there is no death to the soul, there's only death to the body. So we know the soul is eternal, and the soul is present. The soul can be here, together with you, can be in your house, because it's never left, can be present. Times, particularly when it says in the Zohar that souls come down into this world, times of the family, simcha, so forth, a marriage or something like that, souls come down. But we don't speak to them. We can't speak to them. We might think about them a little bit, but you can't communicate with them. You can't communicate with them much, or maybe why? Because it's too abstract. It's ethereal. It's metaphysical. It's not. It's beyond our grasp. So in order for a person to communicate with a soul, you need that soul to be garbed in a body. Once the soul is garbed in the body, that's when we can make connection to that person. You can hear the voice. You can hear their thoughts, their ideas. You can hear their speech. A soul might be talking to you, but you don't hear them because it doesn't have the vehicle of communication, because it's lacking the physical transmitter. That's the thing. And the body is what takes that abstract energy of a soul and grubbies it up, thickens it, so that it can be transmitted to us down here. And the same is also the idea with God. As abstract as a soul is, we might say, as transcendent as a soul is, God is infinitely more abstract and infinitely more transcendent than a soul. God is beyond any image whatsoever, even a spiritual image. A soul, at least, has a spiritual personality. God is beyond all personality, beyond any image. And therefore, to relate to God, for us to communicate and grasp Him, to bond with Him, to connect to Him, to embrace Him, to become one with Him, we can't do that when God remains in His abstract state. So we need God in meat and bones. We need Him in something tangible that we can take Him and join Him to us. So how does God become tangible to us? So God also has a body. And just like the human body is structured in 248 organs, and through that, it's not just, see, what I'm missing. Okay, the human being needs to be physical. See, because the soul is too abstract. So if we need to communicate with a human being, it has to come into a body, and that's how we can communicate with it. So why can't it just be one round piece of something and finished? Just like a meatball. You have a meatball, here it is. It's a human being, and the axe fetish. Because that would just be the human being as a wholesome being. It would not, you wouldn't be able to connect to the nuances of that person, to the details of the person. You want to be able to hear everything of them. Their touch, their smell, their opinions, their ideas, their feelings, their everything of them, their shine of their eyes, there's something that the eyes convey, something that the mouth, that the smile conveys. Everything conveys something other and another aspect of the colorfulness of a human being. And for that you need the 248 limbs, which when you have a person complete with all the 248 limbs, you have the full expression of everything of that human being. So just like this is a human thing, it's with God too. God wants to express all of Himself to us, everything about Him. So He chooses the 248 commandments. That's His organs, through which by doing the mitzvah, we're literally taking hold of one of the organs of God and connecting to it. And that's how Hashem is transmitting His abstractness, His transcendentness to us via the vehicles of the Torah and the mitzvahs that we do. So that's what he's explaining. Being an inyan, and the idea of the matter is, in a note that is known, inyan on mitzvahs, the idea of mitzvahs, the mach, because in the 248 commandments, in the mach, in the mouth, that's a quote of the Zohar. The 248 commandments, these are the 248 limbs of the king. And he explains, what does it mean, limbs? God doesn't have any limbs. Just like the limbs draw forth the life flow of the soul, and every general, a body draws the soul down, but in particular, every limb reveals from the soul that particular energy that limb facilitates. So too the mitzvahs draw God into the world. Now, here's the thing. We gave the analogy of a mitzvah. We gave the analogy of a human being. So through the body, you can access the person. You can experience them. You can enjoy a human being. You can enjoy the company of another human being. If that person is garbed in a body, then you can't. But if it is garbed in a body, then you can relate to that person and delight in the presence of that person. Or get annoyed by the person, whatever it is. But the presence of that person is felt to us through that soul being garbed in a body and through that being communicated to other people. Right? But we're saying the same thing with God. God is transmitting Himself to us through the mitzvahs. But hold it. We do mitzvahs and they're very mechanical acts. And we don't feel necessarily God being communicated to us in those mitzvahs. We don't feel any difference. We don't feel that we've now had an encounter with God. I did a mitzvah. So I took a dollar out of my pocket and I gave it to a poor man. So it's between me and that individual. What is it between me and God? So it's like the soul of the mitzvah is lacking. Because the soul of the mitzvah is the divine flow. That's supposed to flow, the juice in the mitzvah. That's the divinity that's supposed to flow, that's supposed to be downloaded into your soul through the performance of the mitzvah, and that doesn't seem to happen. So the Rebbe says, okay, you're right, being that we're physical in a body, so even when God is coming and flowing, transmitting Himself to us through the mitzvahs, we still won't experience it, because it's still, God is beyond, and we're not the vessel for it. But in Olam Haba, which means in Gan Eden, after the soul departs from the body, that's when it experiences that godliness that it has drawn into through the mitzvahs. Meaning to say this, Olam Haba is a place where you can't accomplish anything anymore. Because
Olam Haba is where there is a whatever is there is there. You have to create your world to come. You have to create it now. It's the mitzvahs that we do now that draw God into the universe. It's the mitzvahs that we do that make God accessible to the created beings on all levels. Even the most sublime, spiritual, highest of beings cannot communicate with God whatsoever if not through the mitzvahs. Because God utterly transcends the entire universe, even the highest spiritual universe. Even the highest Gan Eden, God within Himself, utterly transcends that. So God has to be brought into the world. He has to be drawn down. And that comes through tremendous contractions on God's part for Him to transmit Himself into the universe. When He is transmitted into the universe, where is He transmitted? It's transmitted mainly in the spiritual realms, not down here. Because down here, we don't feel it. We don't sense it. So the transmission, the revelation of God's presence in the world is where? In Gan Eden and Olam Haba. However, they can't accomplish it over there. It has to be the physical mitzvahs that we do down here. That's the vessel. That's the container. That's the transmission. Those are that's the what we call the hardware or that which through what is it called? On computers, how do they call it? The hardware is called, there is the soft, yeah, maybe software and some hardware, yeah. It's that's the stuff. That's the stuff through which Hashem comes into the world. However, being that this is too, and our world is a very physical world, so we're not sensitive enough to experience the sublime energy that's coming in. For that, the body, the neshama, has to divest itself from a body, go to a higher world, where over there it can experience the godliness that she has drawn into the world through the performance of a physical mitzvah. So it's the mitzvah itself that infinitely transcends the Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba is only the revelation of that godliness. It's revealing itself a little bit. So we can look at it this way. Our world is a world where it's really happening. Down here, this is the place where we make it happen. But over here, it's not there for our experience. We can't celebrate it. We don't feel it. And Olam Haba is the world where we celebrate it, but we can't make it happen. So the way that Rabbi is saying is that it's through the performance of mitzvahs that we create Gan Eden. Gan Eden is created through performance of mitzvahs. And that's what it means, kacham. That's what it means, it's the limbs of the king. The limbs of the king is the mitzvahs draw God down to, just like the limbs of a human being draw the person into our physical universe, our physical place. But to experience it, it's an olam haba. Kacham, mitzvahs, mamshichim, the mitzvahs that we do down here, they draw forth chaye olam haba, the tzaddikim. The life of the world to come to the tzaddikim. Because where do we experience God? It's the immense delight that tzaddikim have. What is the delight that they have, that the tzaddikim have? They sit and they delight in the radiance of God, of the ziv, the radiance of the Shekhinah. Shahanda. Now what's their delight? What's the sensation of Gan Eden? It's an incredible sensation. It's an incredible delight. But what's that great delight? The awesome delight of Gan Eden is that they enjoy God. They feel Him, they sense Him, and that's the delight of all delights. Shana asam v'tanugam al Hashem, oiring seifaruch. Their delight and their pleasure is they experience the divinity, God's light, she'em le'soif, that has no end. And because God is endless, that's why the experience of ecstasy and delight is endless. V'ein ha'roich li'elav yizbarach klav. And there's nothing that can compare to Him whatsoever. But precisely because God is endless, therefore that which can reveal itself in the Gan Eden is only a tiny tidbit of that ray. Ein zeh eleziv ha'arav ha'alma. So whatever the tzaddikim are able to delight in, meaning that which they're able to digest, to take in, to comprehend, that's only a tiny little radiance. Liyaz gili ha'sagib b'nishamis. So there should be a revelation of some revelation that should be able to be grasped in souls. Shehem b'chinas nivra. We're dealing with something endless, something eternal, something absolute. to be experienced in a temporary created creature, which is even a soul. It's still a creation. Of course, there is a level in the neshama, the inner essence of the soul, which is beyond being a creation. But the general structure of the soul is that it is a created being. And so that neshama is a created being. How can it experience the infinite? So it's only a ray of it. But whatever it is, it's a ray. It's a ray of that great light, which gives awesome delight for the neshama in Gan Eden. But what draws that ray into Gan Eden? How does God's light at all in the first place enter Gan Eden? It's the mitzvahs that cause this flow of light. It's the mitzvahs that draw forth this radiance in Gan Eden. And that glow, and that radiance, and that ray of the light, the pleasures and the light that tzaddikim endlessly, is what? That's a radiance of the mitzvah itself. Because in the mitzvah itself, God's essence flows. This is God Himself. Now God Himself, as He is in His full essence, can never be experienced by any creature, even in the Shaman and Gan Eden. So it's only a tiny little bit of the mitzvah's light, like a ray of the sun, compared to the sun itself. There is a sun itself, and there's the ray. The ray is just a ray. So a little ray of the mitzvah comes. Every time you're doing a mitzvah, it's like accessing the sun itself. And if we were to be open to that experience, if it would be revealed to us, we would pass out. We absolutely could not live with the sun. But after the neshama has to go away from this world, in a sense, it's a little bit interesting. The neshama has to go away from the sun itself. Because over here it's too bright. One of the reasons why it can't reveal itself in this world is because the bright here is what kills the soul. If the mitzvah would reveal itself down here below, it would kill the neshama. Why would it kill the neshama? It would totally destroy the soul. Because over here, in the act of the mitzvah, lies God's very essence. And no soul can bear that. So the soul has to go away from planet Earth, which is the ultimate object of God's desire, where you do the mitzvah, to a place where only the rays of the sun shine, not the sun itself. And over there, it can start dancing and basking in God's light. But that's the mitzvah shining forth. It's funny, because when you go to Gan Eden, it's a place of such delight, and you look where the light is coming from. Like us looking up, and we see the sun is giving all that light, but the sun is billions of miles away. And where is the light reaching? Down here we enjoy. Here it's the opposite. They sit and enjoy a bright, beautiful, sunny day in Gan Eden, where the light of God's godliness is warming them, delighting them, giving them a spiritual tan, right? And they're having this awesome experience in Gan Eden. And what happens? But where do they see? Where is that light coming from? Coming from this world, from the very act of the mitzvah, which we were totally oblivious when we did the mitzvah, to the fact that we're connecting to the very essence. Because it's down here, Bulvad, where the mitzvah itself is. But the mitzvah is too intense to experience. So we can only have a ray of the mitzvah, and that is in Gan Eden. Now then, Muzib Atma, Kamaimar Zaldus, is just hinted to in this that the sages say, Schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Not that it's like you do a job and you get paid money. The money is something other than your job. You did one thing. And money is something else. But the Torah mitzvah, it's not that way. It's the mitzvah itself, which is the godliness of the mitzvah, which delights the soul when the soul is able to appreciate it and experience it. And on the other hand, it works the opposite also. We explain now that the neshama has to go away from this world to go to a place where it's a little further away from the essence of the mitzvah, so that it can experience at least the ray of the mitzvah. But on the other hand, it also says, how come the body could withstand it? How come the body could withstand it? If the soul couldn't withstand being in this world, how come the body could withstand the mitzvah? The answer is precisely because it's a body. Because it's so coarse and such a behemoth that it doesn't realize anything. So it doesn't know that it's within the sun. It doesn't realize that it's in such an awesome place. If the soul would be here nakedly without the body, then the soul would pass out. That's precisely because it's in the body. So the body is so sluggish and heavy and so unresponsive to anything that it doesn't even know that it has drawn this, and that's why it's able to withstand it. It's like, you know, sometimes you have, you know, in the presence of a great king, in the presence of an awesome being, everybody's terrified to walk in. They'll pass out. They'll go in there. They'll just out of fear. When you have a total meshugana, a nutcase, who goes in there and makes all kinds of faces, you know, all kinds of nutty things to the king, and without any embarrassment. Why? Because he's not in touch. Doesn't realize where he is and what the situation. And therefore, he can be there. And that's the body. The body is so thick and coarse that it doesn't know what's going on, so it can sit in the presence of God itself and eat popcorn. Yeah. And on this it says, and this is the meaning which it says, that God placed Adam Arishan in Gan Eden, Shem places him in Gan Eden, La Avda L'Shamra, to work it and to guard it. He placed him in Gan Eden, La Avda, to work the land, L'Shamra, and to protect it. This is at the beginning of the race. Hashem takes Adam and puts him in Gan Eden. So the sages tell us, what does it mean, La Avda L'Shamra? So the sages tell us, La Avda V'Mitzvah Saseh, that Adam Arishan is supposed to work the Gan, the Gan Eden. So La Avda V'Mitzvah Saseh, what's Mitzvah Saseh? He's supposed to, by performing Mitzvah Saseh, that's how he, see, when you have a garden, and you take care of the garden, there's two things you got to do. First of all, you have to water it, and do everything that it should grow, plant it, you know. Inside the ghost, you have to protect it. You might want to put some what is it called, the spritzes, whatever, things to keep the bugs away or whatever. Pesticides. You want to put some pesticides or whatever to keep negative stuff away from getting to it. So these are two things. They have to watch it. You have to put maybe a scarecrow to get the birds away or whatever it is to protect the things. So the same is also in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a garden with spiritual delights. The spiritual delights is a spiritual of God, the experience of God that is in Gan Eden. But this has two things have to be. First of all, you have to draw the fruits. You have to draw divinity into Gan Eden. Draw godliness into Gan Eden. And that is through the performance of mitzvahs. La'avda, through the doing of the mitzvahs, that, and l'shamra, to protect it, is by avoiding the negative things. Not allowing the negative things get access to a human being and get access to the Gan Eden through what? Through negative activity. So you, that reaches the wall. So therefore, one has to protect. So Adam Arishan was given La'avda l'shamra. What do you see from here? La'avda, to do the mitzvahs. Meaning, do the mitzvahs is working the soil and planting the garden so that you can enjoy it. So you see from here that mitzvahs actually create the Gan Eden. Through the positive mitzvahs, who oived as a Gan Eden, you work the Gan Eden, you make it grow. Just like in a garden, by working it, everything you do in order to make it grow, so you're actually creating the fruits and the delights of the garden. So too, in our spiritual Gan Eden, we also have to create that garden. And now the Rebbe changes course, and he says as follows. Since it is better, the sages tell us, that what? 1 hour of doing tshuva and good deeds in this world is far greater than what? Than all the life of the world to come, as understood of what we just explained earlier, that the whole world to come is only a radiance of the mitzvah, not the mitzvah itself. It's only a radiance of God, but not God himself. But when we do a mitzvah down here, we have the very essence of Hashem coming into the world through the performance of a mitzvah. And that's why the sages tell us that 1 hour of mitzvah in this world is worth more than all the life of the world to come. So in year 4, Ilazois, as a result of this, Makolshkin v'kal v'chaymer. So how much more is it? Shatzadech lahamshich, hamshach esaziv, la'avaydasi yizbarach v'aylam azeh. Now one needs to draw the light, the radiance of the light for God's service in this world. What is he saying? And the Alter Rebbe seems to be very, it's a clear statement. But what I think the Alter Rebbe means in this statement is as follows. According to what we just said before, this world is the world where we do the mechanical stuff. Here it's not about the experience. Here it's about the doing of the mitzvah. Obedience. You do the mitzvah, you do. The experience of the godliness in the mitzvah, that comes in the world to come. So this is not, our world is not really a world of spirituality. What I mean spirituality means the experience of spirituality. I mean the ooh and the ah and the delight and the enjoyment, the warmth of spirituality. When I'm saying spirituality, I don't mean that it's not a world, I don't mean materialism. But mainly, one can argue that our world is a world like, it's not important in this world to open up, to experience the juice of the mitzvah, to experience the divine flow, the radiance of God in the mitzvah. One can argue that our world, it's all about the Shulchan Aruch. You do what you gotta do, you don't do what you gotta do, it's, don't have to be in China with experience. You're not supposed to feel anything, you're supposed to do. And tomorrow is the time of rewards. And that is true generally. Our world is not, we're not here to delight ourselves with spiritual delights. We're here to serve God, and God's interest is being served by what? By the literal performance of the mitzvahs in the most physical sense, the most literal sense. That's the bottom line. Kizek ala adam is to fulfill Hashem's mitzvahs. But nevertheless, the Rebbe says, it's not here to deprive ourselves from that spiritual energy that's being drawn in the mitzvah in our world. Some of it we do have to. One has to also pursue a spiritual life in this world too. Meaning to experience some of the inner life that's in the mitzvah. Not just the outer body of the mitzvah, but the path of, at least to a certain degree, into the soul of the mitzvah. Why? He says simple. He says, our world is so precious. Every moment in this world is infinitely more precious than all the world to come. Because this is the world where everything is happening. So how important is it to get a little bit of that juice flowing in this world so that that gives us a boost and an enthusiasm, and it gives us a motivation to do more mitzvahs? Because if a person is able to experience some of the delight, some of the radiance, some of the incredible sensation of the mitzvah as it flows into Gan Eden, even if it's just a tiny, tiny drop which flows down to a person, what greater boost is there to do more mitzvahs, to get more involved? It's the fact, it's being able to have a little, at least a little bit of the experience of the mitzvah. So that's what the Rebbe, I think, is saying in these words. He's saying, let's read it again. Since after everything is our world is more important than Olam Haba, so for sure, if an Olam Haba, they experience the radiance to the full degree. And over there, it's just for experience sake. Over there, it's not for any benefit for God, for the performance of mitzvah, because they can't do mitzvahs anymore. They're already beyond that stage. So there it's just for their pleasure and their delight. And over there they experience it. So for sure, one has to tap into some spirituality to draw down this ziv to be able to boost our service, because over here at least it can be put to use to do, get you to do another mitzvah. And more than, and the Rebbe adds to make that argument stronger, he says, the sages tell us that our world is considered like a outer chamber before the hallway, before Olam Haba. Olam Haba, Shadayim Al-Tzak, the world to come is considered a great ballroom where the party is taking place. And our world is considered the outer chamber where you prepare yourself, where you get ready, you're dressing up for the ball. To ask an Atzimachabah praise, the Mr. says, prepare yourself in the outer room so that you can come into the inner room. If that's the case, if our world is what... So we can't look at these two worlds as two independent things. Two separate things. The sages say, prepare yourself down here for the experience over there. So if you have to prepare yourself here, prepare yourself in the outer chamber so that you can come in. What does that tell you? But you have to already think about the experience too. Not just the doing. Being that this is a preparation stage for the year, one has to already acclimate himself to some spiritual experience, to something metaphysical in this world. But
why not just do classes corporate
because of faith, because haskin atzmachava praise that. This room is an interlude or a prelude into that world. So there has to be every Every time a person moves from one thing to another thing, there has to be a preparation stage. They prep you. So the neshama can't go straight from just doing to a state of experience. So there has to be some. So that is arguing two things. First of all, it's going to boost your avoda. It's part of the avoda. That's number one. But besides boosting your avoda, since it says haskin atzchum of a praisa, prepare yourself in this room, which means that our world has to have already some state of preparation for the experience, for the sake of experience, not just for the sake of doing. However, the Alter Rebbe says, Ella, nevertheless, the Rebbe says, we're still, however, handicapped in this. Because being that the soul is in the body, in this sense, it's handicapped that it can't really experience. The world of experience is when the neshama is divested from the body. That's when it can experience. Our world, we should experience something, we should tap into the spiritual energy of the mitzvah, not just the doing of the mitzvah. However, it's very limited to that which we can experience, to the degree that the mitzvah could be experienced in this world, anything more than a physical act. Allah explains, Sheba'olam hazeh, einoy b'tchinas nehena, ma'asaga v'tainuv nifla k'ba'olam haba. Even when one does access and is able to open up the mitzvah, to open it up and to get into the inner godliness of the mitzvah, it doesn't come to a person in the same manner as an olam haba, because over there, you literally delight and experience the ultimate sensation of the mitzvah. It's an awesome delight. And over there it comes with an awesome comprehension. The soul has the capacity to comprehend that light, to understand it and appreciate it and fully digest it. But in our world, we know, schar mitzvah behei al meleka. The mitzvah is too intense. The experience is too intense for a body to handle. A physical brain cannot take the intense waves a pleasure that a mitzvah contains within itself. So therefore, it's just the physicality of the human being just does not have the capacity. You don't have the wattage, or I should say the capacity to contain such powerful watts that the mitzvah contains. So therefore, should we or shouldn't we? So he says one thing, yes. We should have an experience of a mitzvah, but it cannot come in a full digestion form. What it could come in more is in a feeling of emunah, which means rak b'tchinas b'emunasa yichyeh. You will live with your emunah, which means that when a person performs a mitzvah and one has prepared himself properly, one has the spiritual antenna to be able to tune into something spiritual being transmitted to him, but it won't come in a way of great. A great epiphany that enters your mind, a great new understanding of God. It won't come in an unbelievable revelation. What it will come is suddenly you feel deeper emunah. Your emunah strengthens the next day. For some reason you have a deeper faith in God. You believe more. It's easier to take. You know, you have problems in your life. You feel that, you know, everything God does is for good. You knew the philosophy you knew yesterday just as good as today. But today, it hits you more deeply. It registers. You're connecting to it. You sense it. It becomes, why? Because you did a mitzvah yesterday. You did a mitzvah. Godliness penetrated into your soul. So you have a deeper emunah. You have a deeper drive to do another mitzvah. You've received a spiritual boost. You can't, it's not in a way of a comprehension. It's more in a way of emunah. It's almost like emunah is like above you. It's something that's still outside of you, but there's an energy in you that's driving you with an incomprehensible energy. And that's an inspiration, you can say. A powerful inspiration, which you don't really understand what, where, and when. You might not even realize that it's the mitzvah you've done yesterday that has given you that new capacity to daven, that has given you that stronger attachment, a greater pull to a mitzvah, and so forth. And that's really one of the secrets of what the Rebbe wanted so much with the Mitzrayim, of going out the mitzvah campaigns. One of the things that the Rebbe wanted with that is because when we do mitzvahs with people, even though it might be seeming that they're just doing a physical act, a robotic act, an act without a lifeless act, when you do the mitzvah, a download is taking place. A spiritual download. God is downloading files. Yeah, what? Spy, whatever, yeah, it's coming into the person. the degree of how much you're going to feel it or not makes no difference. It's going to, as it ever says, one has to try to experience it to the degree that we can. And that's what it means. The Rebbe adds, "Bemenasa yichya, you will live with amuna yichya mamish." Literally, live. What does it mean, yichya mamish? Literally, live meaning mamish, come alive to the point that one can literally feel this. From Ashkasa and Makamachar, as explained elsewhere, apostle the yaday tayyim, the necessity and the ability to make our lives, our performance of mitzvahs, not just be acts, lifeless or just mechanical acts, but to feel different after you've done a mitzvah. It's only a tiny little nothing in comparison to what one will feel, the great energy that's contained in the mitzvah in Gan Eden. But at least something. But in order for that, in order for one to experience that, one has to be soft. One has to be spiritually sensitive. And that means that one has to get rid of their crassness, their thickness, that thick husk of extreme materialism. Because when a person is extremely materialistic, that coarsens the soul and doesn't allow the neshama to be tuned, to have the finer tuning, to be able to hear this more subtle melody of the mitzvah. Because of the extreme enmeshment of physicality. So therefore, one has to work on refining themselves. And then one can tap into the godliness being transmitted in the mitzvah. And that's where he continues. And that's the idea where he's going to lead this. It says, where it says that if someone has Torah, and he doesn't have Yirah Shamayim, he doesn't have fear of God, it's like someone who's been given the outer keys, the inner keys, and he hasn't been given the outer keys. Like the manager, the butler. He has the outer. He needs to take care of the estate. He needs to allow people in or go in, but he doesn't have. He only has the keys to the inside. He hasn't been given the keys to the outside, so he's stuck outside. What does that mean? He means exactly what he said before. Torah and mitzvahs is your key to accessing God. Accessing the highest, the deepest, the most intimate godly light, or the innermost aspect of Hashem, to experience that, it's only through Torah and mitzvahs. But in order for one, and you have the key, the mitzvah is the key, but you first have to enter into the outer chamber in order to be able to go into the inner chamber. And the outer chamber means you have to become spiritually sensitive, you have to divest yourself from your extreme materialism. And that comes from fear of God. It's the fear of Hashem that yanks a person out of his grubkite, picks a person up to a higher place. And where does the fear come from? The fear is in prayer. Davening is a time when we cultivate that fear. Fear over here, I mean in a sense of awe of Hashem. Let's read. Yeah, what's your question? Yeah.
The spirits of delight, etc., everything, the maximum from above, fame as the reward of the mitzvah.
That's the reward. That's the reward. That's the reward, that's right. Yeah. We had it. We say in Perik Namalas and Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says when we say Yibidu Mitzvah, we say Shein Yichud Kitchuk B'Shem Kol Yisrael, in the name of all of Israel. Because when we draw down that light, it's drawn into the Shechina, and the Shechina is the mother of all souls. So it really brings an added addition of light to all of the Olyim. Of course, the neshama that did it gets Chelik Barosh, gets a greater portion of it. But
it's
all neshamas. Yeah, everybody's part of the. Yeah, it's kept for that neshama for sure. But then, to some degree, it illuminates all souls. And we should, the Alter Rebbe says that should be one of our kavanas when we do a mitzvah. That I'm not just doing it to illuminate my soul, but I'm illuminating all neshamas. And you never know which Jew is connected to your neshama. You know, that's through your mitzvahs that. I'm sure there are certain Jews that have a greater effect of your mitzvah because of your particular soul connection that you have to them. Yes. Everybody. It affects, yeah, past, present, and future. Now, so that's what that is like. V'hinei, and behold, oilam abba, shehu mishkan ha'neshama is b'loi gufim. Oilam abba, the world to come, which is the residence of the neshamas without bodies, Mizgala b'chines haziv min ha-mitzvahs b'chines gilim. Over there, the radiance of the mitzvahs is naturally revealed in a full-fledged revealed faith, because there's no blockage there. Souls are just souls, and therefore they're fully receptive to the light. Avo, the olam hazeh, our world, despite the fact that we mentioned before, one should try to experience some spirituality too, not only physical aspect, but have some of the spiritual delight of the mitzvah, but nevertheless, we're still in a body. The olam hazeh shanashama, mislabesh is beguf. The neshama is vested in a body. So over here, what? Over here, tzarech loshes, eitzeis benafshoi, liyasam shacha, zu begili anafsh. Over here, one has to take counsel and find ways to be able to be open to this life. See, in Gan Eden, it's natural for a neshama, because the neshamas don't have this heavy, as he mentioned, the asbestos suit that's weighing it down, so it's able to automatically receive the light. But in this world, when the neshama is trapped in this thick, coarse material of the body, so that's a strong block. So one has to really work on it. That's what I was saying. It takes a lot of work and effort to be able to sensitize yourself to that light of the mitzvahs. So here's the thing. To do the mitzvahs, one doesn't have to be too spiritually refined. It just takes to act. It's to do. As long as you're doing what you have to do. But to experience, for the experience, you have to have a refinement. So how do you have that refinement? What brings a person to that refinement? Which means, in order for you to get into the house, into the light, into the inner, the light of God, you first have to get into the courtyard. And to get into the courtyard, that comes through, and that's called getting the external keys. What's the external keys? Fear of God. How do you get fear of God? So this that one contemplates, how God is the one that fills all worlds. One has to contemplate, how God fills all worlds. You, God, created the heavens, and you created the heavens of the heavens. And that God creates his attendants, the angels. The Asher Mesharis of Kulam Oimdin Biyiro, and that all of his attendants stand in fear, Umashmiyim Bekoil, and they make be heard with a loud voice, with a loud thunder. And then we continue, Vaifanim Bechayis HaKodesh, the angels that are called Eifanim, and the Chayis HaKodesh, and the holy beasts. The Lash Godel, with a great noise, with a great thunder. They're praising God, and they have faith. Then when one contemplates all the above, people ala adam gamkein aim of the yira. This will also make fall upon a person a dread and a fear. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? He says that one has to contemplate God through the universe. So it's Torah and mitzvahs is very powerful. But Torah and mitzvahs, we're going to see soon, is introducing to you something of God that is completely transcendent, that is so abstract, so beyond. The godliness that is transmitted to you in Torah and mitzvahs, it's not going to bring fear to you, because you're not sensitive to it yet. It's so awesomely great that you don't have the capacity at all to realize it, to feel it, to sense it, to relate to it. So even though it's so awesomely, by taking the most awesome idea which can excite anybody and teaching it to a little one-year-old. It's too awesome for their mind, so they won't get excited about it. So you have to excite them with something that's closer to their realm of being. So to initially excite the person, to open a person up to divinity and to godliness, which means to lift the person out of their materialistic state of being. Because as physical people, our senses are only open to physical sensations. So one has to first raise their sensitivity to be able to sense the spiritual. And that has to come step by step. Torah and mitzvahs even though we're supposed to always do Torah and Mitzvah and not push it off to later, won't excite you that much. What you need is simple meditation in God and the universe, because that's closer to us. What can excite us? We look at the awesome creation that Hashem created. We see the awesomeness of the world and realize that all this is just an expression of God. We look at the heavens, we look at the stars, we look at the billions of the galaxies and everything that's here. We say, what an awesome creation. And God fills it all with His energy, and that's how it exists every second. So one begins to get an appreciation, one has to think about this for hours, to really get the certain feeling that God is the universe. And in the awesomeness of the universe, one begins to sense the force beyond it. You get a certain first respect and appreciation for Him. And then you contemplate further. You go beyond our physical universe and you start contemplating the angels, how awesome beings they are, and how they stand with incredible fear and dread before God. And you go higher and higher, higher angels that tremble. They're an awesome, they're in a state of undescribable trembling, how they tremble in the presence of God. When one contemplates all this, this excites a human being and brings you to a state of fear. Once you've gotten in, and that's called entering the courtyard. You've entered in. You've left your little shell of ego, of not seeing beyond your little something, and you've entered into a world of divinity, of godliness. God hasn't been intimate with you yet, because all you have so far experienced is the most external aspect of God. The most external aspect of God is God's creation. That's the cheapest element of Hashem's light. The most minute of the most minute. The crumb of the crumb, as we mentioned so much times. That's the energy of creation. But to us, we have to start with it. When we climb from within our little world, we're climbing up to God, we have to begin with that which is closest to us. And that is contemplating the universe, and God within the universe, and God in the as He fills the higher worlds, and how the higher angelic beings respond to God. And once one is excited about that, then when you study Torah, and you do mitzvahs, then Hashem is revealing to you His inner self, which is utterly beyond the creation. And you can sense it already, because you're sensitive. So that's the journey a person has to do. So prayer is mainly the time. Davening is the time. When you contemplate and you contemplate and contemplate. All to bring you to the outer courtyard so that you can enter into the inner courtyard to Torah. So one contemplates the malach. And this will also make fall upon a person a tremendous fear. And it's interesting. The Alter Rebbe doesn't just say contemplate the universe. He says, contemplate the effect that God's presence has, God in the universe, has on the angels. And that they're so, they stand in such awe and fear of God that they're trembling. These awesome beings that are so much greater than all of this earth, of the whole universe, it says. One angel is bigger than the whole the universe, but at least planet Earth for sure. Meaning they contain more energy than the whole entire world has. So one angel amongst trillions, uncountable number of angels, stand in tremendous awe and fear of God every second. One contemplates that. That is necessary in order to bring fear. And then one realizes, what am I amongst these angels? One tiny little peep squeak. Shouldn't I tremble? So that's the simple. So the Rebbe is saying, so by contemplating the angels' fear, that will bring fear upon the person. But as I was learning this Maimon and the Mikkel Rebbe, the version of the Maimer as he repeats it, he adds like a little word that seems to be implying much more than that. It's not only by, according to this, is some like mathematical equation, some arithmetic, some like, by a person making a calculation like this. The angels are so awesome and they're so great and they're so, they fear God to that degree that they're trembling in real God. How about just someone as small as me, right? Of course I should fear God. I'm so much more insignificant in the presence of God. So that so some type of mathematical calculation. The angels and then me, you know, you make your but over there it seems to be more than that. The angels produce, they give off an energy of fear. out of their fear, they transmit fear into the universe. Fear of God. An awesome energy of fear vibrates through the universe. And it's here, right over here, where we're sitting right now. Travels the waves of fear, of trembling that comes from the angels. When we contemplate the angels fearing God, we tune into those waves and we fear God with their fear. So our fear takes on a whole new level of fear. It becomes an angelic fear. It's powered by an angelic force. It's not just our fear. It's the Malachim's fear traveling through our mind and through our system. It's like the muscles we all have from today's technology. It's like the radio waves or waves of television or something. They're all over. They're traveling through the world constantly. But if you don't tune and turn the channel, so when you're channeling, you turn the channel to that channel, you pick it up. Or else you're not picking it up. So by davening, you know what davening, part of davening is, now it's channel fear. You turn your channel to the angel by doing what? By focusing on their fear. So once you're now it comes on the screen. It transmits and flows through your soul. And you experience a far higher fear than a human fear. It's the fear of the Malachim. It's kippah, so the Alter Rebbe uses the word kippah lal of ema. This, it falls upon you, a fear, because it's not your fear. It's tuning into their fear. Yes? You stop, yeah, when you...
I might look elsewhere, then it becomes like a blank screen.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But
on the words, you concentrate on the words, and you concentrate on the ideas that the Alter Rebbe conveys on the inner meaning of the words. So it allows you not just to say the words, but to enter into a little bit of a meditation on the words. And the longer, of course, you focus on it, the more it energizes you. But I'm just, an incredible thing I've never seen in Chassidus. That the Hezbollahness that you speak about, concentrating on the Malachim, and this, it's not just because you make a calculation. They fear, so you fear. It's their fear itself that channel that travels through the person. So it comes down on the person. From that people, Allah Adam Gam Kineir, the Yib Chinas Mafecha Sachitzainis. But this is only what the external keys. Why is this called the outer keys? Why is this called the outer keys? Sheyirazu, because this fear, Lekucha Metchinas Chitzainis, because this fear is taken from the it's called external fear. And the outer keys, because the whole experience is coming only from the external layers of existence. One hasn't tapped into at all to the real thing. We would think this is like the most awesome thing, to fear God like an angel feels God. The Rebbe says you're way outside stuff. Because they're part of creation. And all this, what does their fear come from? Their fear comes from because they realize God as the master of creation. But the whole creation is external to God. You know nothing of God by looking at His creation. What do you know of God? Hashem was playing around. My kids were sitting yesterday and making cartoon fish. Hashem sat around and made a little cartoon. Right? That's the universe. That's all of existence. Take the greatest artist of the world. And they make a little smiley face for a little child. And you're looking at that little smiley face. So you're not seeing the artist in that. Because he hasn't conveyed. You can only see in a picture that which the artist or the has vested in that picture. They haven't vested much of their talent, but that's all you see. In all of creation, God vested two letters. Yud Heh. But Yud and Hey, a little, that's all that it was. If that's the case, so that's the most external aspect of Hashem. Where do you get to see God, what He really is? That's Torah Nitzis. Because of here, Hashem Himself. So, why Sheyirazu, because this whole fear, Lekucha, is taken, Mepchinas Chitzayni, is from the external. Because this is only a radiance of Hashem. Because all of creation only stems from a little external ray. Because to bring about the coming into being of all worlds, the chotz of Amayla, and all the hosts of above, Shebehem that is in them, including the stars and the planets and the galaxies and the angels and the beyond and beyond and beyond, all worlds and all of it, it's all array. It's all it is. And what is one contemplating? He's contemplating the effects of that ray. And that's an external thing. Va'al yodam, and through them, nimshchas b'chinesh ha'ira. Fear comes through them. Why should fear come through them? As I mentioned before. If you're contemplating what is beyond that ray, it's too distant that it should affect you, impact you, so you don't fear. We have to contemplate this for fear because this is closer to us. It's closer to our experience, to ours. It affects us more. But once that has been accomplished, one is ready now to enter further. As it says, where do we know that through contemplating God's external energy, which is the energy of the universe one comes to fear, it says in the Pasuk, Ki ed Hashem Mecho, when I look up to your heavens, my Sayyid's Playsecho, I see the work of your fingers. I come out at the end of the Pasuk. Ki ed Hashem Mecho, my Sayyid's Playsecho. The Pasuk says, I don't remember. Then the Pasuk says, Se'umar Remeinechem, lift up your eyes upwards. And see who has created all the above. So you look, Reb Zusha of Anapoli, the great Reb Zusha, the two brothers of Melech Reb Zusha, the Talmidim of the Magid, one of the colleagues of the Alter Rebbe, once walked out at night, and he looked up in the sky, and he gazed at the stars for a moment or two. He collapsed on the floor from fear, to the point that he got shingles. He got so sick. And he had a total, he was, what's it called when you bleed? He had a total, his whole system broke down. All from the fear. The question is, he really looked and he realized God. So why did he have to look up in the sky? You can look in the safer. But there's something that comes to you when you go outside and you just look up at the billions of stars. It's close to your physical reality, so it impacts you. You see, your physical self can also relate to it. It's not just a fear that your soul has. It says also, as it says, Baruch Sha'amar V'Hoya Olam, Shema Shebaruch. But nevertheless, it's all the external aspect. We also say, Baruch Sha'amar V'Hoya Olam, blessed is the one that spoke and the world came into being. Shema Shebaruch Nilkach Ma Sha'ama V'Hoya Olam. She'ein Ze'el Aziv. That which is drawn into the world is only a word of God. Baruch, I think. Baruch means something that is drawn down, flows. So Baruch, the whole bracha of creation, the whole blessing of creation, we can say, the whole force in creation, is only Sha'ama. It's the utterance of God and the world came into being. It's only as if. B'ayim ha'shekot ala'ol ha'pasik achre v'ayel ha'kechem t'aleich. Aval ha'ikkaru mafteches ha'pninis. The main thing is to get to the inner keys. P'chines mafteach l'spayach begilit p'chines p'ninis. For a person to have the key to be able to unlock the inner doors to see Hashem as God really is behind the externalities of the universe. To see the inner aspect of Hashem. D'ha'ayinu, what does that mean? Gilu o'ren soif baruch u'mamish. To have the revelation of the infinite, the light of Hashem Himself, she'enoy begeder el manklal, that aspect of God which is not within the context of world at all. Hashem, as He is totally beyond the context of worlds. From Shakasav, as it says, after hu avaya levadecho, as it says in the pasuk, what after hu Hashem levadecho, we say, God, you are alone, levatcha mamish. You are literally alone. What does that mean, that God is alone? That means that despite the fact that God created an awesome universe with billions of creatures, and some of those creatures quite impressive themselves, nevertheless, we say, Hashem, you are alone. There's none but you. You are absolutely alone. What does it mean, God is alone? There's a universe. The answer is, there's only a universe on the level of God's speech. Once God speaks from the energy of speech, of it is a universe. Once you travel beyond that speech and you enter into the deeper dimensions of God, Over there, there is no universe. Over there, the universe is a total non-event. It's a non-existent. Because it's so nothing. It's so, it has absolutely nothing that it's to the point where it literally doesn't exist. It's only within the context of God minimizing the tiny little ray of a ray of a ray that you can begin to see an existence, a universe, a creation. But once you go beyond it, and you enter into the higher energy, into the higher force, Hashem is levadecha, as if there is no world at all. Atu Hashem levadecha. Levadcha mamish, literally alone. K'may koydim sh'nivra oylam. Now here's that the point. So that is saying, if all your excitement about God is only the universe, and the universe is total non-existent because it contains even an... Hashem himself, the life force contained within the universe is an absolute insignificant life force. So you're not really knowing him. You're knowing just the nothing of him. So it's called the external keys. But you want to get to know the inner keys because you want to know that levadecha, that aspect of Hashem which is levadecha alone, where there's nothing, that's what you want to become intimate with, that's what you want to know. And that's totally unknowable, but nevertheless we want to know that. We want to draw that. As he says, Mamish, Atah Hashem Levadecha, Levadecha Mamish, Kumay Kaidim Shenivra Oilam. You are literally a one, just like before the world was created. Just like at that time, Shayahu Levadi Yizbarach, God was alone. So we say, Vani Havaya Loishanisi, Hashem says, I did not change. Meaning, the fact that I created a world didn't change me one iota. Why? Because to me, the world was never created. To me, on the level of Ani Avaya, over there, there is no universe. There's only me. Because the world is created of how is it possible? The Hainu explains. But what do you mean? There's always a creature. Mishum the Kula Kamei Kala Ka'ayin Mamish. Because on that level, in front of God, all of existence is Kala, literally nothing. Uka'ayin Mamish Chashiva. Has absolutely valueless to the point that it's nothing. Why? How is it possible? It's an immense universe. So he explains to him because it says, Ki Bekar Hashem Tzurei Lamed. Because with the Yud Kei, Ki Bekar Hashem, Tzurei Lamed is the power of the world. The power of the world is Ka Hashem. Simply means God is the power of the universe. But why does it say Ka, Yud Kei? So the sages derive from here that with these two letters, God created the world. The Yud Nivra Olam Haba, with the Yud, God created the world to come, and with the Hey, God created our worlds. So one of the ways of understanding this is, God must have been meditating for years. For millions of years he was sitting there and looking into it. And then he finally, with his entire energy, with all of his being, he said, Yud! He put all his best and everything in that Yud. And then he exploded with that Hey. With so much concentration and so much, it took everything of him, and then he was wiped out for, you know, after he just released that Yud in the Hay and he exploded with the universe. But the Rebbe says, no, literally, like you say a Yud in the Hay. You say a letter of Yud. How much energy did it take of you? How much did you expend in that Yud? From all the words you've spoken, all the letters that you verbalized, say trillions of letters, I mean millions of letters in your life. How much, what significance is that letter Zion that you mentioned, or let's take it in English, the T that you said 3 weeks ago, Monday, in the course of a conversation, you in the midst of a long rattling off of hundreds of sentences that you said, you mentioned the letter T somewhere. Go find that T today and see how much value did you attribute to that one little T that you said in the middle of the end of a word. Right? You had a want, the T over there. No significance. So by God, that's all the universe, the Yud in the case, and more than that. I mean, the Rebbe doesn't mention it here, but in the other, that's to the Yud Hey. Why do they say Yud Hey? Because these are the lightest letters. Every letter takes more energy than the Yud and the Hey. It's the least of letters itself. The Hey is just is the least of a letter. It takes the, otherwise at least you have to, the muscles of your mouth have to move to a certain degree to be able to say a different letter. When it comes to a Yud and a Hey, these are the lightest letters. And that's what God used to create and to sustain all of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba forever and ever. It's that one energy expressed in that one Yud. So that's a non-event, that's a non-entity. And over here the Rebbe doesn't get into it, but he, other places he explains that even that Yud and a Hey was never really expressed. It was only a letter which is potentially expressed, it's not even expressed, that becomes infinitely less significant because of the fact that it was never even expressed. Kibakash, and by us, after all, we're souls, and there is a limit to our being. And therefore, being that there is a limit to our being, even though one letter contains only a tiny little, hardly anything of our being, but still, there is still a limit to our entire structure of being, so a letter is still something. But God, who is literally endless and literally infinite, so one letter amounts to absolutely nothing. So all of existence is absolutely nothing. That's the conclusion that Al-Tzid is saying. All of existence is absolutely nothing. So Hashem says, I haven't changed. Because all that took place was nothingness, and that doesn't change me. Yes? That's what he's saying over here. That's the universe and the creation as the universe and the creation exists without Jews and without Torah mitzvahs. That's Tassara Mamoris. That's not Tassara Sadibris. When it comes to Tassara Sadibris, these are words where God said his entire being was put into it. That's really a whole different story. We're talking now the universe as the universe, existence as it is, in terms of the whatever excited the person in his meditation and davening, contemplating the universe, that's just the yud and the hey. Including the angels, including all the upper worlds, besides Torah, Mitzvahs, and Jews. Because there is where Hashem already is investing his essence. The kihine, yeah, kihine, because it says, the kar Hashem tzore lamin. The yud nivra oylam haba, and the yud the world is kreo behe, nivra oylam hazan hour. Shehen kamoy ha yud vahe, oysias ha yud vahe, these are just literally like the letters yud and hey. You have one little yud and one little hay in your thoughts. They're totally nullified. The Gabi called this machshavta v'shichlo. They're totally nullified in comparison to the general power of a person's thought and intellect. And how much more so to the very essence of man. Meaning, the Rebbe is making it known. He says, take one letter of a yud and a hay and compare it to your general capacity to think. See, when you speak letters. You speak multitudes of letters. But far less than what you're thinking. Thought is traveling so much faster. So you have so many more letters in thoughts. Now your capacity, your soul capacity to think letters. How many letters? So take one letter, one little hay, and compare it to the general soul capacity to speak letters. This will be obvious. How much more so when you're comparing it not to the capacity to think letters, but you're comparing it to the deeper essence of your being, which is totally beyond letters. The ocean of the human being, deeper than letters. Your emotions, your intellect, which is far higher than speech, than letters at all. Even higher than letters of thought. But the letters are totally valueless. So, Cain v'yoysa m'Cain, so, and even more than this, b'teilis kol b'chinasa oylam azeva oylam abba, the whole entire entity of this world and Olam Haba and the world to come are totally nullified legabe oirin soifarachu in comparison to the infinite life ba'atzmoyo b'chvoida, God's very essence. The ein oilois b'shem oilomois klal, and they don't even come on, they shouldn't even contain the name worlds. A world? What kind of world is that if it's such a nothing? So to us, being within this little crumb, within this little letter, to us, it's worlds. But Hashem, they're not worlds. What are they? Shehem ka'ayin ve'efes mamish. They're literally nothing. V'hoya k'loy hoya. As if it never happened. That's it. The only, and the Rebbe is adding so much more, it's a beautiful statement over here in the Chutei Torah. It's only so that our ears should be able to hear. It's really infinitely more than what we're able to say. Because as much as we're trying to explain this nothingness, it's so much more nothing. It's just that there's no words that ever we can use, so we're speaking words of letters compared to try to find an example of something that has absolutely, that exists, but really doesn't exist because it has so little value. So the Losach HaSa'ayuz, and he said, we use it, Al Derech Mashal Gashmi, so to find a physical example, Yisa B'Kizvei Arizam, so there is in the writings of the Ari, he says as follows. He says that all the worlds, the whole state of Rishtashos, meaning including from Achilles and down, and all, even higher beyond it, the whole thing, the whole process of worlds, which are so awesome, the Arizal says, is what? It's like one drop of the ocean. Compared to God, it's like one drop. When you're going in the ocean and you get a little mist spray, a little mist, a tiny little drop that hits you, and compared to the whole ocean, what significance does that drop have? So the Rebbe says, really, that's not a good example. Because after all, the tiny drop does have some value. Because it's a little bit of the ocean. The ocean is a tiny bit smaller. Because it's missing that drop, because you're going to walk off with that little drop. This is only ketipus and ketibit tipa achas v'yamakas. But the Rebbe says, that's only because the Arizal have no other words, so he uses this. But this is giving the world far more too much credit, far too much significance, using that example. Gam apta hu levada yizbara. So therefore, now too, God is alone. And now, when we say we want to have the inner keys, means we want to access that. We want to creep out of our little spider hole. Creep out of all universes, all of the, and reach to the very essence of Hashem and draw Him. Va'oisai anu mevakshim. And Him, it is the very Him that we request. Sheyil begili ha'nefesh. We want Him to be revealed in our souls. And to Him, to experience Him Himself. Where do we find that that's where our goal is? That's what we're seeking. We don't want just an extra spiritual boost. That's what all spiritualists in all places seek. So those that are spiritual, in Buddhism, and in Tai Chi, whatever there is over there, people that are looking for spiritual highs and experiences, it's wonderful, it's good, but that's not Jewish, to have the sense. That's all within this. See, we're down here. That's people who have access one notch higher. Eastern spirituality. Wake up, the Alter Rebbe is saying that's one notch higher. That's maybe going up to a little bit, tapping into a higher energy, a tiny bit higher than our physical universe. And maybe those have reached two notches higher, three levels higher, but that's it. It's not even the world of Yetzirah. It's way far from the world of Yetzirah. Speak about going up to the world of Bria, but after everything is said and done, this is all just worlds. It's all part of that little drop, that non-entity. As a Jew, you should be yearning for Him Himself. The God Himself is the utterly is beyond. And as a Jew, you can access it. Because in Torah and Mitzvahs. And that's the key to what it means to be Jewish. V'ahavta shavaya lekecha. That's what we say every day. You should love God your God. Literally, it means love God your God. But here the Alter Rebbe translates a different. V'ahavta, the root of the word love, is really desire. Ava. Ava means a desire. Your desire should be v'ahavta. It should be your desire, your ava. That says, v'ahavta Hashem lekecha l'shmaya Bilam. That God did not want to listen to Bilam. So you see, the word ava is used as for desire. Because the truth is, the inner energy of love is really desire. You can only love something if you have a desire for it. So there is that desire that comes that produces the love. So that's why the inner energy of the ahava is the ava. So v'ahavta, it should be your desire, that havaya should be Elokecha, should be your God. Havaya alludes to that which, that aspect of Hashem that utterly transcends all of the universe. V'ahavta, it should be your ava, your desire, your attraction. Your attraction should be, your pull should be, that havaya should be Elokecha, your power. Meaning it should be open to you, experienced in you. Pidish v'ahavta m'loshen ava, shehu loshen chesed v'rat. That should be your desire, and you will. Sheyi ratzon ha-nefesh, the desire of your soul should be, sheyi ahavaya lekecha begilu lenoichach. That ahavaya should be elokecha, your God. Your God means something that you can point to, something that is revealed, open, right in front of you. Kamosha kasev b'zoyar, as it says in Zoyar, ala pasuk v'yikchu li truma. As it says in the pasuk v'yikchu li truma. The Zoyar says, comments over there, v'yikchu li take me. Ki li pidish oifi, taking me. V'haynu sheyiyu gili oirin soifu. It means, li, my very essence, God says. Sheyiyu gili oirin soifu baruchu mamish al nasha. That literally this should be the revelation of the Ein Sof in one soul. That which he said before, that all of the universe doesn't contain in your soul that can reside. But, here's the thing. to experience that means no more you. It's a trade-off. At that moment, you have to cease to exist. You exist, but you exist in a total state of bittul, total state of nullification. When that's the... Why? Because that's the whole point. Ein Seif is kula kamei kalachshiv. There's no entity but him. So at that point, you also become kalachshiv. You also become a non-entity. But in that nothingness of you, you experience his reality, his truth. So, but... And therefore, maybe a lot of spiritualists won't want this. Because it means giving up on being themselves. And being spiritual is great because it gives sensation. This is beyond sensation. It's reaching truth. It's reaching a total dissolving into His light. The soul reaches a state of total surrender and total bittul. How can you still be in the state of this ultimate being, the illusory beingness? The chalavavcha, with all your heart, you give yourself over. But how do you attain it? So that's your ava. So far here we have a person desiring. You pine for this. You yearn for this. You desire this. Vahavcha. This is your goal, because you realize that everything that the universe has to offer is all chitainis. It's all externalities. You want Him Himself. But how do you access Him? That comes through Torah. It's through the Torah where God flows to us. Why? Because why do we continue? As a result of Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, you desire, you love God, your God, and you're exploding with that desire, because all you want is Him. Why? How does God respond? So you want Me. It will be through these words that I command you today, which is the words of Torah. Over there I have invested what? Not my name. I've invested on Noichi, my very essence. That I command you today. On Noichi Mamish. This is my very being. God says, on Noichi, I. Over here he's not saying his name. Because his very I. When a person says I, that's you as you are. It's not any projections. It's not any presentations. You're not presenting yourself with any presentations. It's you as you are. The loy b'china shem b'vad, not only a name. Shehu b'china zivar, because a name is only a radiance. Elatz musa yimahusa kiviyachol mizdala yadei ha-teira. God's very essence is revealing Himself through the Torah. Why? Ki ha-teira nikreis koil. Teira is called God's voice. Koil. The voice of God is called a Torah. By Matan Torah, we say Friday nights. We say in the Kabbalah Shabbos. Mizmor LeDavid, Tavel Hashem. So we say the Koyel Hashem Al Amayim. God's voice is over the waters. Koyel Hashem BaKoyach. God's voice is with thunder, with power. Koyel Hashem BaHadar, with beauty, with Kol Hashem Shayver Adazim, the voice of God breaks the cedar trees. Kol Hashem Chaytzel Bahavis Eish. So we have over here 1, 2, 3, 4. No, over here it's mentioned 6, 7 Kolas. The Gemara says that by Matan Torah there were 5 kolos. It's interesting because in the Maamar that I'm learning today, he associates these the five kolos with Kol Hashem Bahadur, which is associated with the giving of the Torah. But that's strange because over here there's 7 kolos. So I don't know. But the main thing over here is Torah is called Kol. It's the voice of God. What is it about Kol? What is a voice? Because there's something. The thing about a voice is, when a person speaks, so you utter letters. Now those letters are what? What are letters? Letters are little vessels, vessels of communication. Letters are little vessels of communication. So when a person speaks, it's almost like speech is really an offense. It's almost like physically I can give you something. I want to give you something. I want to give you an idea. I want to give you an opinion. I want to give you a feeling. I want to give over. A person wants to give over something of their inner spiritual self to someone else. So you use, the only way to give it over is you have to put it into words. Words carry. You carry your soul. They carry, they convey you. They convey you to another person. Your words convey. So let's really physicalize this. Look at these letters as little cups that you pour yourself into. And you combine different cups and you give it over to people. That's really what you're doing. So now words are physical. You're speaking physical words. But what are you conveying in the words? It's not the words. It's the message beyond the words. It's either the feeling of love, the feeling of the idea, the concept, whatever it is that one is transmitting in those words. So here we have to make a connection. How do you take your soul energy that is utterly spiritual, your feelings, your ideas, your inner self, and put them into these physical words? Because these are gashmi physical words, they're physical words, even though they're not as physical as something physical and tangible, but they're still physical words. They're created from a breath that's physical. So you have to and here you're taking emotions that are completely a soul experience, and you're pouring them into these physical containers. So you need a bridge to take the abstract soul idea or concept or emotion or feeling, and you have to connect it and bridge the gap between this and letters, so that you can take your soul and put them into letters. What is it that does that? Koil, the sound, the voice. The voice emanates from your heart. That breath, but there's something strange, it's a voice. And I don't know exactly what that voice is, but it's a voice. But the voice is what... See, the letters are not the voice. You can whisper the letters too. You can think the letters. The letters are the letters. And then you'll have the feeling. The bridge, isn't amazing? The bridge between the total spiritual entity that you're conveying and those letters is that voice that's emanating from the heart, that's taking that which is totally beyond and putting it into these letters, and that's how you're transmitting it. So the same is also with Hashem and the universe. There is the universe which really comes from the Yud and the Hey, the letters. And then there is the Oir Ein Sof, the infinite light that is totally beyond those letters. It is God Himself, God's inner self, you can say. His inner emotions, His inner is a noichi. As we said earlier, that is not within the universe, because it's that Hashem left that out, because if you would put that in, the universe would explode. So all we have in the universe is only these blind, tiny little letters. That's all they're made out of, these insignificant letters. And then there is Hashem Himself. But how does God transmit Himself into the universe? You need a coil, a voice, and that's the Torah. The Torah is that voice that takes the abstract of God and puts it into the letters. And what are the letters? And here's the thing, the main thing of Torah is not that. That's so beautiful, the Alphabet is saying it. The main thing of Torah is not the words of the letters of the Torah. It's the sound of God. It's God's koil, koil Hashem. It has to convey to us, it has to come into letters. To come into letters. But it's not the letters, it's the voice of Hashem, which is taking that which is beyond letters. His emotions, his feelings, his ideas, his inner self, transmitting it to us through these letters, through these concrete ideas that we study, this halacha, that halacha, but it's the koil Hashem that's in it. Right? And let's read it inside. Behind the why they, the ki atoira nikras koil, a koil kol Yaakov. Yaakov is all Torah. We know Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is davening, avoida, and Yaakov is Torah. And what do we say about Torah? A koil kol Yaakov. Yaakov is koil. Yaakov is, which means that Torah, which is Yaakov, is koil, it's voice. Kemoisha koil. So the Alphabet takes the amount. Just like the koil. Umamshich mahalev el adibur. Just like the koil draws from the heart, the feelings of the heart, and it draws it to the speech. Vahu hamachaber ruchnius and gashmius. And that's what serves as the link between the spiritual and the physical. Because the letters are gashmius. And the feeling is totally spiritual. And this, the voice is what draws it. And it's interesting. That's why there's a certain amount that you can convey in the letters. You know, in as poetic as you are in your words, you really can convey of your feelings. It, the way you, some people are better in putting words together and creating beautiful words to convey an idea or an emotion or something. And there's a lot to say about the words that you're putting it into. But much more than the words is the sound, the voice. So much more, you can sense the emotion. You convey so much more in the tone of the voice, the loudness, the feeling comes through so much more in the voice, because it's that voice that carries, really. It's not so much, and the letters are more the kalim, the voice is more the oyer that contains that energy. So kach ha-toyza, he amshachas gili p'chines p'nimiyah, so to the toyza is the flow of the p'nimiyah. Shehu oyer ain't saif, baruch hu mamish, which is literally the ain't saif, le'eslabish p'gashmiyah sa-toyza mitzvayseh. For God to enclose himself in this world, which is in the physical aspect of Torah and mitzvah, aksuvim ba'dar ha-ritin. So where does it all come from? It comes from that. It's the coil of the Torah that draws it down. Elechei nikra, and therefore it's called koyde the Torah. One is calling in the Torah. The sages is a well-known expression all over in the Torah. It's called hakore the Torah. Simply, it's literally translated, it means one that reads in the Torah. But if that's the case, why do they always call hakore the Torah, one that is reading? Kore also means, right? It should have said halome Torah, one that's studying Torah. What's this hakore he's reading? Torah is not so much about reading. It's more about the intellectual understanding of it. So it should have said halome Torah, hashoyne Torah. What's this hakore the Torah? Because kore has another meaning. Besides kore meaning to read, kore also means to call. So hakore the Torah means someone who is calling with the Torah. Because when you're learning Torah, you're calling. You're calling somebody. Who are you calling? You're calling God. You're calling God into the world. You're calling Him. Hakoyde b'toyde means to call. Calling Hashem. Elachein nikri koyde b'toyde ka'odam hakoyde es chaveiro. It's like a person calling out to his friend. And when you call, what do you mean? When you call your friend, what do you mean you're calling someone? You call them to turn their attention to you, that they should come to you. You want to, hey, come here. So you call the person by his name that he should come. Call them HaKadosh Chaveiro, Sheyava Etzvai, that he should call it. Kikol HaTayidah, Sunday Edison. So when you call someone, you call them by his name. So when I'm reading Torah, I'm not calling. I'm saying something. I'm talking about Be'ish and Olda B'Yantif. Talking about an egg that was born, that there was laid on Yantif. How am I calling God? No. So the Alter Rebbe says, the Gemara says that the whole Torah is God's names. The whole entire Torah is Hashem's names. So when you're calling the Torah, when you're reading the Torah, you're calling God by His name. And the Mitzvah Rebbe adds over here an amazing thing. When you're calling God by His name, when the names that God is in the Torah is a far more intimate name than all the other names of Hashem. All the other names, the names of creation, creation also is created through names. The name Elohim, the name Kael, the name, all the other names that are active in creation. Those names, all the names that we know, even Avaya and all those names, they're all the more external names. The highest name of God is Be'ish and all the Yontif, and the egg that was laid on Yontif, and the Hamaniach HaSakad, if someone puts down a vessel in the street and someone comes and trips over that. These are the most inner names of God. And he says over there that what? That in every parish, and why is it called Shema Yisav, Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the names? Because he says there's Chamish Echum Shetayra, there's five books, every book is a different name. It's a long name, but every book is a different name of God, the combination of the letters. They form various names of God, God's most intimate name. And then he goes on and he says every Masechta and Shas, and every Masechta is a different name. And when you're learning one Masechta, you're calling the one name of God, it's one complete different type of relationship. One person is learning Masechta's Megillah, his relationship to God is completely different than the person who is learning Masechta's Sanhedrin. It's a different name of combination. The literal words of the Masechta are names of God. And a person is calling Hashem, the most intimate aspect of God, far higher than even he says the names of God conveyed in Shemona Esrei. We think we call him Hashem in the most intimate way in Shemona Esrei. He says no. Because that's external names, names of creation. The most inner name of Hashem is the names of Torah. That's His truest name. And you're calling Him, HaKoyle B'Toyle, you're calling Him in His name. And Chaynikah, Piddish, Kimo Yishayah, they shame Adam, so to the person's name. You call his very essence. And the Mifle Rebbe adds, see, when you're calling someone, you call him, he turns to you. But it depends how you call him, it depends what you mean. See, if I'm, you have a doctor, okay, in the hospital. And someone goes over and says, hey doctor, hey doctor. So he turns. But he turns his attention to the person, to the individual calling him. He's turning his attention, but he's only turning his professionals. When you're calling him doctor, he's turning to you as a doctor. But what happens in the middle of an emergency, in the middle of the hospital? Someone walks in and says, hey, Jack! The doctor is Jack. Jack the doctor. Okay, so someone says, hey, Jack! Jack turns around now, but he's a whole different turning. It's not doctor that's turning. It's Jack with his entire being. It's Jack as a doctor, and Jack as a plumber, and Jack as Jack is with his entire being, because you call him by his most intimate name. Especially if you call him by the name that only his family knows. His like personal name that people don't really know. And you call him by that name, you know, the old childhood name that is very deeply ingrained in you. That's when you turn with your entire being. So you have a certain persona, professional self. People call you by your professional self. You turn, you're turning with that particular aspect of your being, but not your very being. Like the famous story with the Tzemach Tzedek, with his grandfather, and the sitting on the, he's a little two-year-old boy, and he's sitting on his grandfather's lap, and the Alter Rebbe said to him, Nu, where's the Zeder? Where's the grandfather? Where am I? Where? He said, and he showed his nose. So he said, no. The Alter Rebbe said, this is not the Zeder. This is the nose from the Zeder. This is my nose, it's not me. So he pointed to his head, he said, this is not me. He says, my head's from the Zeder. He pointed to his body, whatever. He said, this is the bird, this is my beard, it's not me. So the boy went off to play. And then he hurt himself. And he maybe a door slammed or something, and he cried out. And the Alter Rebbe jumped and he turned to him. And the boy right away, the Alter Rebbe said, this is you. I mean, here you turned with your entire being. This is not some detail, some particular aspect of it. So the Rebbe says over there, the Mittler Rebbe says, the names of God referred to in davening, that's God's nose, His ears, is this, is that. But you want to call the Zayde, you want to call Hashem Himself, that's the Zayde. HaKoyle B'Toyle, you call God most intimate name when you're studying Torah. And this where he describes it, this Masechta is one name. And that Masechta, these are Hashem's most private names that no one gets to call Him by. Only a Jew that is learning Torah. But the angels can't call Him by those names. They don't know those names. It's Jews down here who are learning Torah that get to call Hashem by name. Tiddish k'moyshay deshem adam. Koyrim atzmusayim usay. He turns his very essence. Kachal yedei atoyreh koyrim amamshichim atzmusayim tzeipar. One draws forth the very essence of God. Ki hishma yizbarach. Because Torah is God's name. She chachmasay ritzayim yizbarach. And which is God's wisdom and God's will. She'enei muvin amusik v'seichel anushi. And how do you know that this is not some sophisticated part of God, but it's His most inner self, not His professional self, it's His inner self. It's just simple. He says, we don't understand the logic of Torah. We don't. Sometimes we understand it. Most of the times, the most basic precepts of Torah are beyond our logic. We learn the logic, but that's after we accept already certain rules. But this is what it says. This is the halacha. Now, based on that, you go and you build logic. But the first notion is, this is the halacha. Now, why is the halacha like this? That's what it says. We learn it. We learn it from a pasuk. It says here, which means there's a certain point where you always realize that this thing is really beyond logic. You know, we like to think that the Torah is very logical. And we learn. You learn Gemara. You learn anything. You learn the art scroll. Gives you full. You can learn and study it about. That makes a lot of sense. The whole thing. But it's only logical after you accept that, okay, so we derive from this extra vav that it's supposed to be so and so. Yeah, but why? No one questions further, but why? It's funny, when you start learning with people who never learned, I remember when I was a kid one time, I was learning, And it's the first time it hit me. I was learning, I was like 14 years old, I was learning there's a shul in Borough Park, and there's a Lakewood Minyan, and that's the place where everybody comes to learn, and for like, and I used to go learning with a chavrusa, Shabbos, afternoon, whatever, we'd go learn. And one time a guy approached me, I suppose a Baal Tshuva, freshly new, and he asked me to learn with him. So I'm learning with him. I first never learned in English, I always learned in Yiddish. I couldn't even translate in English. I knew English, but I couldn't translate. That was very hard for me. I was like raising my teeth in front of it. And then we were learning, and we got the place where, so we learned from this prophet, and he's saying, why? And then I never thought why. I didn't mean why. No one ever asks why. This is what it says. And the funny thing was that I always thought of myself as so logical in the learning, because we always learned, but there was what we question is what you don't question. It's the bottom line, essentially. So Torah is really beyond logic. But isn't it God's wisdom? The answer is, it's God's wisdom, which is totally Hashem's deepest wisdom. It's highest, deepest desires and will that is totally beyond our capacity to understand, because it's just the most inner aspect of His being. According to human mind, the din would not give so. It would not. It shouldn't be this way. The verdict could not be this way. This is what came up in God's will. And this is what God's mind dictates. This is way beyond our grasp and our understanding. And that's why it's called His name. Through this we call Him to call forth the revelation of the Ein Sof, literally. You open up your hands and you satiate to all living beings with your will, meaning that Hashem shenimshach rotzen elyon l'chol chai, the rachma v'al kol maisos erech hapayim v'gdol chosed, and His compassion is on all His subjects, erech hapayim v'gdol chosed liyos karev al l'chol karev. To call His very being and not His. Rebbe is explaining why in the pasuk Karev Hashem, God is close. L'chol Hashiyikra'ohu, whoever calls Him. However, what does it say? L'chol Hashiyikra'ohu be'emes, whoever calls Him in truth. And what does Chazal say? What's emes? Ein emes al Torah. Torah is called truth. So where is God close? Who can really call Him? Those who call Him in truth. Those who call Him to the Torah. But before that, we say a pasuk, which means that how can we call God in truth? How is this inner truth given to us? It's because because God has conveyed to us through the Torah His ratzon, His will, opening up a channel to His inner will, which is His will, which is the Torah, and that's the yikra'uhu b'emes. We can call Him in truth and connect to His very being. What? So soon as you speak about mitzvahs, let's see. Zahu, and this is what it means. Kisishma. Go now. He goes back to our pasuk. It says in the pasuk we began the maimer. Kisishma, you will listen. Bikoil Hashem alakach. You will listen in the voice of God, your God. So the question he asked in the beginning. I mean, we asked it, and he asked it over here. Why does it say you will listen in the voice of God? It should have said the chesed. It should have said bikoil. It should have said likoil. You listen to the voice. What's to listen in the voice? And that's the whole point that I ever say. When you're studying Torah, you don't just hear the words. You don't only hear the voice, but you hear that which is in the voice. You're connecting. Your desire is to get Hashem. That's what we want. Not so much about what the subject is. Not this subject or that subject. It's the emotion. It's the soul of the Torah. You want that which is contained in the voice. It's like tchshiv b'koy v'loy l'koy. Kuma shekaseh b'yerim. It says elsewhere. It says in Shemaya tishma l'koy l'Hashem u'lekech. If you listen to the voice, this is the first verse I was looking for in the beginning. It says if you listen to the voice. So what does it mean to listen b'koy? So the Rebbe explains koy. This is exactly the point. Koy haino hamshacha mehelam elagilu. Koy, a voice. What does a voice mean? A voice is drawing forth something from a concealed state. To draw forth something from a hidden state, elagiloi to something that is to a revealed state. He's taking from the concealed to the real. Well, the coil, so Torah, In Torah, when we study Torah, something that is concealed is becoming revealed. Hashem is revealing to us His what? His wisdom, His ideas, His outlook on things, His philosophy. So a person can get caught up in that. That's also, you're hearing the voice, you're hearing, oh, it's a nice thought. That's a nice voice. Right? This voice or that voice, a nice insight, inspirational insight. So you get something which is concealed became revealed. But you can get caught up. You can get caught up in the voice, meaning in the concept and that in the idea that has been conveyed, or you can search deeper and look for Bikkur, which is God, the fact that it's Hashem speaking, that there is a divinity being transmitted. A Likoil. So when you say Likoil, Pidish Hashmiya Vahavan Alam Shachazu, the person is tuned in. He's listening and tuned in the comprehension. To the Hamshacha, to this idea of conveyed in Torah. The Ainu Lipchinis Hamshacha Atzma. One hears the Hamshacha, Sheipchinis Chitzainius. One hears the external. Avo Bikoil, Ainu Vipninius Hakoil. Bikoil means to hear not the voice, but to hear what is in the voice. Kisishma, you should listen, Sheti Ashmiya Bipchinis Pninius Hamshacha. One should tune him, fine tune his ears, and the desire should be to hear the divine, the godliness that's in the voice. It's sort of like this. You ever had someone you really wanted to speak to? You really love that human being? Or you wanted to strike up a conversation and you wanted to speak to them, you had some crush on that person, you wanted to speak to that human being. And finally you have the opportunity, they stop and they talk to you, and you're like all excited. And you have no idea what they said. It makes a difference that you didn't hear the conversation. It didn't make a difference. It was that they spoke to you. It was the person speaking. It didn't make a difference, the words were that they were speaking. Sometimes Chassidim went into Yechidus. I don't know if it was so much out of fear or out of love. They came out, they had no idea what the Rebbe said to them. Because they were so overtaken, the fact that they hear the... It's he's speaking to me. I mean, how do you hear words? You don't even hear words. It's someone... It's because of the excitement, that's what the Rebbe is saying. When your person is studying Torah, it's God speaking to you. So the words, it's this opinion, it's that idea, it's Him. That's the thing. Bikoil. To hear that it's Yevish in that voice. And that should be common one soul, and the person should be in a state of bitl. Be nullified to that light. And this is what the sages tell us in Rabbis, in Medrash Rabbah. In the beginning of Kisavo, it says, Ashrei Adam Shemei Ali. It's a pasuk. It says, fortunate is the person who listens to me. So the Medrash quotes on this, comments on this. Ashrei La Adam. Fortunate is the person at the time that when he hears, when he's studying, it's li to me. He's excited about the fact that I'm there. He's excited about the relationship, not just about the ideas, the brilliant ideas of Torah. Shmei oisav li, here's the me that's in it. V'ayim b'zoyar b'haloyscha. And look in Zohar b'haloyscha. Daf kuf nun beiz omer alf. Nishmasa da'amrin dot feresh Yisrael. It says over there, now this Zohar I looked up today, and this is one of the most fascinating Zohars I've ever seen. So I'm going to share it with you. It's a little, it's going to take a few minutes, but it's something that everybody should know. Something that everybody should know and know and remember. Reb Shimon Omer, and this is quite a statement of Zohar. Reb Shimon says as follows, Vayilahu Barnash, woe is it to that person. The Omar that says, that the Torah that we have is coming to tell us stories. And simple stuff. Meaning, woe is to a person who takes the Torah at face value. And, you know, this is what it says in the chat, and that's it. The story is a story of the Ihachi. Because if that would be the case. So he says, woe to a person like that. Even in our times, we would be able to make a Torah, he says, with simple matters, ubishvacha yatir mekulu. We would be able to make a far more poetic and nicer Torah than there is. If it would be all about just the story that is being studied, maybe Shakespeare is nicer in terms of its written, its language. If all that it would be is just that, ilach za mila di alma, is it just to tell you worldly things? Afilo inen kafsire de alma. Even the ministers of the world, ispanayo milani law and yatir, they have nicer stories, nicer things written than the Torah. Sometimes you can't make sense of what it's saying. The way it's written, it doesn't seem to... Sometimes it seems that it's clumsy sentences, or the heads don't make sense with the end of it. It's not, it doesn't seem to be so, always such a beautiful read, if you just... And this is the Eberstus book. So we can even do a better job. If all it would be is trying to relate a story. If that would be the case, let's go after them, meaning follow the other writers and... The Nabid Meneu Araisa, Kaigamu, we should make a Torah also like they made. Elakol Milin Doiraisa, all the words of Torah, Milin Eloyim, are very high things, Inun, Verazim Eloyim, and have supernal secrets to them. Tochazi, and he gives them an incredible example. He says, Alni Elov, Alma Tadah, Bechad Maskele Eskole. The upper world and the lower worlds were made in one scale. I don't know what he means by that. Yisrael Latata, there are Jews down here, Malachim, Malachi Yilo La'il, and there are angels above. Malachi Yilo Iksibihu, what does it say about the angels? Oysa Malach of Ruchais, that God made his angels out of spirits. Now, these angels, we spoke about them before, angels, incredible beings. The Shata the Nachsim Latata, when these angels come down in this world, Mislapsha Belevusha Deheyalma, they have to enclose themselves in a garment, in a physical garment. The ilab islapsha belavusha kegadna dahayam. And if an angel comes down into this world not enclosed in a physical garment, if the angel remains in his abstract, lo yachlam amekim bahayam, the angel would not be able to stand in this world. And v'lo yisavam leinam, the world could not withstand the angel. The intensity of that force of an angel in this world, it would blow the planet away. So in order for an angel to come, and angels do come down, when angels are here, they come in a garment of a physical garment. So they have some physical appearance. So that what? Like a Yehovah Navi when it comes down in a form of... Because it has to somehow take on a physical form, or else it would just destroy. So if a Malach can't come into this world, because it's too spiritual for our world, and it would too intense for our world, the Torah that created all the angels, and that created all the worlds, and all worlds are sustained as a result of the Torah. That the Torah can't come down in its spiritual form, because it would totally blow the world away. So even the Nachshus Lehi'alma, since it came down, how was the Torah able to come in here? So of course the Torah had to garb itself in physical garments. So the Torah took on a physical story. But this is the most external garment. If it hadn't enclosed itself in these garments of this world, our world would not be able to contain it. So the whole story that you read in the Torah, all the stories, they're all the garments. One that thinks that this garment is all that there is, and this is the Torah, the lav mila achara, and there's nothing else deeper than it. When you start talking, telling people some mystical interpretation on a thing, they get all nervous. They think like you're trying to like twist the Torah out of its meaning. It's like you're what do you mean? It means this. And the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says like this: Tipach riche, let his soul blow up. A person who says that this v'lo yehele chilku ba'alma da'asli, and a person who says that doesn't have any Chelek, any portion of the world to come. Begin kach on the David. David said about this, Gal Einai, open my eyes, Vabita Neflos Mitaresecha, let me see the wonders of your Torah. What does it mean, the wonders of the Torah? He says, Ma detchoyf levusha dairaisha. I want to see that which is under the garment. Not just to see the external garment, but to look under. Tochazi, come and see. Is levusha deschaza lakoyla. There is a garment that everybody can see. If you're in on tipshin, it's like when a person is dressed, you see their garments. So the in and tipshin, and the are these fools, Katchomen lebarnash belavusha. This chazal and shapira. If they see a person dressed in a nice garment, loim is tackling after. They don't look further. It must be a wonderful person because they see a nice garment, nice clothing. So they don't look beyond the garments. They judge a person just based on their way they're dressed. That's all they see. Chashiva da'ul levusha gufa. They think that the garment, that's the person. The chashiva de... Right? And then they think that the body is the soul. They think that the garment is the body, and the body is the soul. That's all that there is to a person. Kahai gavna, so in the same manner he says, Araisa isle gufa. The Torah has a body. In the Tukude Araisa dikren gufa Torah. And these are the commandments of the Torah. They're called the body of the Torah. Hai gufa, now the body of the Torah, which is the mitzvah of the Torah, that's enclosed in garments, the garments of the stories. Hai gufa mislapshin bilavushin. These bodies are enclosed in a garment, the inun sepurim de'al, which are the stories of Torah, which seem to be just plain stories. Tipshin de'olma, the fools of the world, loy mistak le'ela bahi levusha. Don't look only in the garment, the sipur de'alais. They only look at the story of the Torah. V'lo yati yadi yater, they don't know more. V'loy mistak le'bamadi t'choifahu levusha. They don't learn, they don't want to learn anything of the mystical part of the Torah, to see what is beneath the garment. In and the yad and yatir, those who know a little more, loy mistaklan b'levusha, they look beyond the garment. El b'gufa the itchaita b'levusha, they look at the body that's beyond the garment. That's people who want to look a little more, they look a little deeper. But chakim and avde the malki lo, the real wise ones, the servants of the king, of the supernal king, innun dekaimu b'ture de sinai, those who stood at Har Sinai, loy mistakla ela b'nishmasa di ikra dekayla. They don't even suffice with the garment. They're looking at the soul of the Torah. By raisa mamish, they look at the literal Torah, which is the inner esoteric, inner secrets of the Torah. Ilu zimnin the asi, and when Mashiach is going to come, zimnin l'stakala b'nishmasa b'nishmasa b'raisa. Then we're going to see the soul of the soul, which as the Rebbe always calls Razin de Razin, the secrets of the secrets. The secrets is called Kabbalah. Chassidus is called the secrets of the secrets, which is really belongs to the world of Mashiach. It's amazing. Tachazi, come and see, and he adds more, this is with the part that he brings over here, is that, so you see that there is soul, and there is the soul to the soul. So he adds over the Hachanam al-Ela, if Levusha, there's the garments, the gufa, and the body, and the Shmasa l'Nishmasa, and the soul of the soul. Shmaya v'chaylei on Ilan in the Levusha, says the garments, the heavens, it says, oh, the universe, the heavens and all those things, they're only the garments of God. Knesset Yisrael, Israel, the Metabolism, but they're the body, because they receive the soul. The Iyu Teferes Yisrael, although Iyu Gifu Nishmasa, that's the body to the Neshama, Nishmasa of the Teferes Yisrael, the Arai Samamish, the Nishmasa, the Nishmasa, the Yatika Kadisha. This is what he's quoting over here. That what? Teferes, which is Torah itself, is what called Torah is associated Kabbalistically with the attribute of Teferes. That's called Neshama. Neshama l'Neshama, the soul of the soul is Kesher, the crown of Hashem. Atika Kadisha, Atik, the crown. That's what we're learning over here. Koil Hashem alakecho means, even if a person is listening to the soul of Torah, which is Koil, the voice, but that's the Torah itself. That's Teferes. Big Koil, HaKoil Koil Yaakov, Yaakov is Teferes. But that's koil. Big koil means is to hear the Ein Sof that's in Torah. That's the kesher. And that's what it means to listen and to hear the Ein Sof that's in Torah, not just the... He's bringing over here. The Ayin B'Zoya Ba'alois, we're referring to this Zoya. Nishmasa the Omran da Teferes Yisrael. The Iyuei Raisa Mamish. The Noida the Teferes Nikra Koil, HaKoil Koil Yaakov. Im Keim Masha Melubish Bipnimius. So what is Bipnimius HaKoil? When we say, Kishishma Big Koil. If the Teferes itself is called Koil, so what is Big Koil? That's Kesher. HaKoil Zemashe Kosev Sham B'Zoya V'Nishmasa Nishmasa Da'ava Atik. That's Atika, which is Atik when it is the crown. Ki Yeshtoi V'Yeshtoi V'Nikar Koyle V'Toyle Yeh. The Zeo Kishishma Big Koil. This is what it means to listen in the voice. Ah, Sodech Liyo is Kesevin Amadzeh Yitzchil. However, one has to go in the order of... One can't jump. One has to go in the order of the steps, of levels. first, as great as Torah is, and the Torah introduces you and enables you to access the intimate innermost of Hashem, but first one has to access the outer keys, Mestechus Achitzayus, the Achakach Mestechus Apnimus, and afterwards one reaches the inner keys. Kihine, because behold, God is a king. So God is in a palace. And a palace is the palace, the throne room, and the inner chamber, right? And then there are the courtyards. And you can't enter into the inner palace unless you go first proceed through the courtyards. Kihine, yash chatzar achitzayim. There is the outer courtyard, the chatzar apninus. And then there is the inner courtyard. Kamashakasa the Megillas Esther. It all says in Megillas Esther, it says over there, Talmud b'chatzar beis hamelech apninus. It says that Esther went in and she stood where? In the inner courtyard. She came to ask her petition to Achashverosh. She came and she stood in the inner courtyard. But then it also mentions the outer courtyard. It says, V'haman b'al l'chatzar beis hamelech achitzayna. That Haman came to the outer courtyard. So what do we have over here? Even though we're talking about Achashverosh, but based on the introduction that we just saw, the Torah is not some stories. So when we're talking about Achashverosh and all that, we all understand it refers to God. And that all these levels of the outer court and the inner courtyard and Esther and all this coming always has a deeper meaning. So this refers to the three levels. We see there's like this. There is the outer courtyard, the inner courtyard, and then there's the Beis HaMalchus, the actual palace. So in a Yid Avodah, every single Jew has to make his way, if you want to connect to Hashem, you have to go through these chambers. Chatzar achitzaynu p'chinaf tzuka dezimra. The outer courtyard is the verses of song. The Rebbe is going to say how every day when we approach God through davening, we go through this the outer courtyard, and into the inner courtyard, and then we enter into the palace. So how does it work? So we go like this. Tzuka dezimra shehem ha-medabrim b'shvach gidulas yetzir ha-kot. In Pesukah de Zimra, what are we doing? We enter the outer courtyard. What is Pesukah de Zimra? It's the first phase of davening. Pesukah de Zimra over here is a broader sense, not just Pesukah de Zimra, but really the whole part of davening from Brachos, the morning blessing, Brachos HaShachar, Matovu, and all that, all the way till after Yishtabach. That's called Pesukah de Zimra in the context of the week. So that's called the outer courtyard. Uptchidah Pesukah de Zimra. Because the primary focus of that whole part is we're speaking about God as the creator of everything. So then we... What could have it said? The call. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I'm not so fluent in Hebrew, so I don't know. I know that. I don't know. So he brings over here early. So you see, it does say. It is a pasuk. It says, "Vayomer im shemaya tishma, likol Hashem alakecha." He brings another pasuk where it does say, "Likol, vayomer im shemaya tishma, likol Hashem alakecha." So you see that there is other verses that do say likol, and here it says likol. Yeah. He says right over here. Look, v'zel in the beginning of page, v'zel ki tishma bikol Hashem alakecha. V'chsiv bikol v'lo likol. Elsewhere it does say, "Vayomer im shemaya tishma likol Hashem." So he's drawing the comparison. Yeah. All right. So now what were you saying? Oh, chatzar apnimis. So that's entering the outer courtyard. So when one davens and one meditates over that, so one has entered the chatzar apnimis because he's meditating what God's greatness as it is being displayed in creation, which is the external. Chatzar apnimis, but then one enters the inner courtyard. Who kriya Shema b'chasel. That's saying already the brachas of Shema. That's after Baruch Hu. You enter into a whole different place. Here he doesn't explain why. But this is called chatzar apnimis because if he were dealing already with far higher angels. You're not, one's concentration is not on the external universe. One is already thinking about the angels, the malachim, and amongst the angels themselves, he's explaining the highest angels, the ones that are called Srafim, Ifanim, Vachayis, Akkadish. These are extremely high malachim. And what you're contemplating is their total nullification to what is beyond. They're screaming Kadosh, 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 and all that. So you're entering into a Pnimiya to Olamot. Instead of examining the Chitzonius, the external of the worlds, you're entering into the inner aspect of the world. That's what's called the inner courtyard. Still the courtyard, but it's called the inner courtyard because it's an inner dimension of the creation, far higher dimension of the creation. But you're still the courtyard. And then, but where is the king sitting? The king is sitting on the kingly throne, the Beis HaMalchus, in the house of, in the palace. What is that? That's beyond the court. That's Shemoneh Esrei. He b'chinas tefila Shemoneh Esrei. That's the Shemoneh Esrei. Because they enter into the palace already over there, there's only the king. In the palace, no one is really there, only the king. And if you enter, you've bowed, meaning you lost your existence. And by Shemoneh Esrei, that's where you are. Because you can't even speak. Silence. It's total Hashem Sufasai Tiftach. I don't even have a voice anymore. No, no, the room is not Shema. He said the room is, the Shema is still part of the chatzar. It's Shemoneh Esrei that is that experience. I want to get to that. Only Shaman from there, and from there the king stretches out. By Esther, what does it say? Esther walks into the chatzar of Pnimis. From there the king stretches out his gold scepter. We learned about this in the Maamar once. And the king extends the gold scepter. What's gold? Gold is kesef, is what? Kesef represents silver. Now, kesef is silver. Now, silver usually represents love. Kesef is love. We had in the Maamar a few weeks ago about Yosef hiding the love, and Pachas Binyamin hiding the silver cup. It's all about the love. So love is kesef. However, Zahav, gold, is also love. It's a much higher love. The difference between silver and gold is that silver doesn't have that sparkle. Gold is fiery. Silver is more mellow. So silver represents love, but a colder love. Zahav represents love, but a burning love. So the king extends the Zav, the golden scepter, means extends a certain love, we're going to explain soon in a minute, from the Heichal HaMalchus, from his place, to the courtyard where Esther is standing. What does that mean? That means that there's something from Shemoneh Esrei that is affecting us already in the Shema to invigorate, to enable us to come from the Shema to Shemoneh Esrei. Let's read. Shehoyshed v'himshech b'chinas bayis l'b'chinas chatzar apnimis. At the level of bayis, which is where the king is sitting himself, he draws out to the outer courtyard, to the inner courtyard. There should be a revelation of this love also in the Shema, in the Vahaf. What does he say? So in this Maamar over here, again, the Alter Rebbe is very short. But in the Mittler Rebbe's Maamar is long. He dissects this whole process so beautifully, how he dissects this whole process of davening. And he explains it as follows. Within each level that the Alter Rebbe explains, Tzuka Dezimner, the Mittler Rebbe finds many levels in it itself. And then basically it goes like this. In the Tzuka Dezimner, which is the outer courtyard, he divides it into two parts. First there is the beginning, the brachas that we say, till in the middle of Karbanot, where the main thing over there, the emphasis over there is, one has not yet entered into the levels, into a world of spirituality and holiness. You've just woken up in the mornings, and you're still stuck in Klippa. Because the natural situation of a human being in this world is the Klippa being a world. So our whole perspective is very Klippa being. Klippa being meaning very shell, very much concealed and hiding. We feel our ego very much, our own desires, our own wants very strongly. We don't have yet an appreciation of it. Self, yeah, you're stuck in this one. So the whole point of the beginning, the brachas and all that, is to excavate yourself and untangle yourself from extreme materialism and physicality. And that's where he doesn't show it in the whole davening, but he explains just a few pesukim. For example, he says the brachas shaloyasani goy. It's It's not being a guy, not being a slave. It's risking, ripping yourself out from the physical condition. Going through, he says, continues over there, Yaisirab, Adam and Abahema, Ayan, right? He says, what is the mile of a human being over there? Till there, and then, Aval Anachnu B'nei B'Reisach. That's where it starts. That's where you begin, when you get to the Pesukim of, and, but we, B'nei B'Reisach, we start already the Karbanos and all that, the enter already begin. And he says, paralleling to us down here below, doing this, it also happens to the Shina, Malchus, also at night she enters into the world of Klipa, and she also has to like shake herself off from the Klipa. And that's that whole process of the brachos. Then comes Virchas Kriya Shema, from before Baruch Shalmav till after Yeshtabach, which mainly is entering the Chatzar HaChitzayinah, where we begin to experience the godliness in the universe. We're still part of the universe, because we just woke up. We can't jump right away into the Eirin Seif, it's totally beyond. So we begin to examine and see, let's try to get a different perspective on the world. Once we've gotten rid of the chazarai, the garbage. And he adds more. And the beginning of Pesukah Dezimra, one has to be mashful himself. Meaning one has to very strongly examine how lowly one is. So that one can totally reject the unholy self. Say, that not. I don't want to be like a goy. Not that. That's the total rejection of that unholy self. Then one starts to contemplate, meditate on the universe and the godliness in the universe. That's the outer courtyard. Then one enters into the inner courtyard. That's already it, the brachas of Shema. Now, in the brachas of Shema, in that section of davening, he speaks of three hechal, three chambers that one has to pass. One is the general courtyard, chatzar achitzenis, which is mainly where we're speaking about the malachim. Yotzer Or, that first whole long bracha of Yotzer Or speaking about the Malach. It's called Pnimius, as I mentioned earlier, because already you're dealing with the far more finer elements in creation. You're not caught up in the external universe, you're looking at the inner universe. But then you go higher than that. Higher than that is already the bracha of Ahava Solom. It's a much higher Hechal. It's called the Hechal Ahava, the Hechal of love. You enter into a, why? Because what's the whole subject matter? What's the subject matter of Ahavas Olam? That's the way souls serve God. Much higher than angels. They've entered into the domain of souls. Ahavas Olam, the unique relationship and love that God has with the Jewish people. We're dealing with the metaphysical souls, the souls as they are divested from the body, but we're speaking about souls. We're speaking about Jews only. Here we've entered far higher. It's in the world of Berea, but higher. In the beginning of that, we've entered the world of Bria, but the Malachim of Bria, the angelic domain of Bria. But now we enter into the soul domain of Bria, much higher. And that prepares us to experience the love by Shema. It's all part of the Hechal Ahava, the Hechal of love, of Jewish love to God. Still the courtyard. Then, explains, from there you gradually move into a place called Hechal HaRatzon. Hechal HaRatzon is where one experiences not love, but a total subjugation of one's will to Hashem. Particularly, he says that in the 15 vavs that we say in the beginning of the Yatziv, the Nachan, the Yashar, the Ka, Yatziv, the Nachan, the Ka, the Yashar, the Nam, the Av, the Chavis, the Nachman, the Nam, that's entering into the world of the vav. And that's the world of Hechal HaRatzon. It doesn't explain what it has to do with the vav. And we say in the Zmiris Friday night, we say, Bevavin Teskaper. It's with that Vav. That's sort of, over there, when you enter that Hechal HaRatzon, you're somewhere already in the, what is it called already, on the launch pad. It's already, you're straddling creation and beyond creation. Because beyond that is already Atzilus, it's not creation, it's a world of total divinity. At that place, the soul is preparing itself to enter into absolute unity with Hashem, which is going to take place by Shemona Esser, it's in the world of Atzilus. But it's that station of those 15 Vavs and the Emes V'Yatzev and that experience, which is Hechal HaRatzon. However, by Shemona Esser, one reaches already the Kodesh Kodesh, the Holy of Holies. And that's during the Beis HaMalchus. And over here, it's not subjugation of will. Hechal HaRatzon means It's a bittul of your ratzon. You don't have a love anymore. You nullified your will. But you didn't nullify your essence yet. You nullified your will. By Shmona Esrei, the bittul goes so much deeper that one loses all his entire self. It's not a bittul haratzon, it's a bittul of your etzem. And that's why you can't even talk. And if Hashem sefas haytiftach, you don't even have any words. Hashem has to open. But at that moment, here's an amazing thing. But at that moment, you can't approach the king. Esther, as we know, Esther comes up to the Chatzar HaPninus. But if the king doesn't stretch out the golden scepter, she can't come in. Because out of total fear, you become immobilized. You become totally immobile. You become totally paralyzed. You have no beingness, no energy to approach, to make the connection. So here, what happens is an amazing thing. Here, the king has to stretch out the scepter. What is the scepter? It's the gold. The gold, he says, is an energy of gevura from above. It's God's love to the Jewish person that envelops the person. So here is where Hashem's gold. It's God's, it's the king's scepter, it's not our scepter. So when the Alter Rebbe says that Hashem extends the love to us, it's not human love, it's God's love that envelops us. And what happens now? The neshama now gets a surge of love, a draw to God, which isn't human, which isn't its own love. The Ahavas Olam, all that, was the neshama revealing its love for Hashem. Now what happens is, it receives the love from above. And that love from above carries the neshama into the intimacy of Shmona Esrei. So the neshama reaches a point where it stops and it can't move any forward. Then by Yoshet HaMelech HaSazav, Zav is the love, but this is really divine love. That's why it's such fiery love. It's the love of the world of Atzilus. And that envelops the neshama, enabling the soul to enter into that intimacy of but what evoked that love? So it says over there, it's the love of the neshama. By Vahaftas Hashem Alekecha, by Shema, which was the ultimate extreme, which is the soul's love to its capacity. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, to it explodes, b'chol ma'aitcha, with all of its love. That love rises up, and that rebounds back, coming down, drawing down Hashem's love, enabling the neshama to leave the Hechel HaRatzon into the Hechel Shmona Esrei with total intimacy with Hashem. And that's the journey the neshama has to take during davening, up to a complete oneness. By Yoshet HaMelech at that place. V'zehu, and this is what it means. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is really saying. The Heiner said, Shahoshet, look, Misham v'Yoshet HaMelech HaSharvet HaZav, who p'chinas u'maylis HaZav, the king from there expends his gold, the Heiner ish v'yesh ha'av, the flames of love. The king draws that love down from the house to the courtyard of news. The Hainu Shayegilu Yahavazeh Gamba Kriyashma Bakim Vahaf. And this is what it means. Ashrei Tivcharu Sekare Yishkein Chatzerech. He said by a brief Mila. Say, Ashrei Yishkein. How fortunate is the one who will dwell, who will Tivchar, who chooses, and Sekare then comes close. Yishkin Chatzerech, the one who dwells in your courtyards. Part of it, they double courtyards. Beis Chatzeres, because there's two courtyards. Chatzer Achitzayin, the outer courtyard, that's Sukkot Nezimah. Chatzer Atzim is the inner courtyard, that is Birchas Kriya Shema. V'hadeh, what is it say afterwards? Nizba B'tuv Beisecha. They will be satiated with the goodness of your house, meaning will enter even the home, which is Shemona Esrei. Chinas Bayis, that's the house, that's Tfilah Shemona Esrei. Shulchinas bittul. That's already a state of total bittul. Vehine hamshachas bittul zeliyis tkua v'kavuava. So it seems that way. It seems almost that way. That one can attain this level of pnimius of a lakus, to reach the inner chamber of God, God Himself, not just through Torah study that we learned earlier, but through davening. Davening also brings a person to that place. So the Rebbe is going to explain that's true. Davening can bring you to that which we explained earlier, that which is totally beyond Shmona Esrei, you reach the inner chamber. But davening can only bring you there momentarily. Davening can take you to the highest heights, but only momentarily. And then you lose it. the only way to keep it and make it become part of you is to Torah Spy. Torah is really the real vehicle and the real connection to that which to the inner court, to the inner keys, not to the outer keys. Generally, davening, because we spoke the whole mind, the whole gist of the mind was that davening only brings the outer fear. And Torah gives you intimacy with the inner element of Hashem, the closest to the aspect. That's in general. More specific, even in davening, there are the various phases of the external and the internal. But now the Rebbe goes back and he explains that notwithstanding the greatness of davening, davening still belongs to the general category of chitzonius, external, as opposed to Torah, which is penimius. And that's what he explains. In order that this bittul should be wedged and firmly plugged in to a person the whole day, that a person, the timely worries and distractions should not distract the human being. Hatardas that usually, right? So one can daven immensely, amazingly, and then lose it all after davening. So for that, one needs to study Torah. I know all you day after you. Shenemar, it says, v'dibarta bom, v'shiftucha b'veisucha v'lachavad. You should speak in them when you sit in your house and you go on your way. What does it show? Davening, you can't daven if you're b'lachavad b'derech. If you're out in the middle and you want to stop, meaning, you can daven, but you can't really daven. To really daven, it takes a lot of preparation. And even with all the preparation, sometimes it goes, sometimes it doesn't go. Sometimes your mind just doesn't, which means davening requires a lot of preconditioning in order to be able to daven well, to reach it by davening. But Torah says, wherever you are, there's no limit. You can learn Torah in every situation. It doesn't make a difference in which level, high mood you are in, high level, low level. If you learn Torah, it connects to God. That takes place. Why is that? Why is it that Torah is, and he explains, because the difference of Torah and davening is like this. Davening is you rising to God. It's a human effort. It's you picking yourself up. Yes, there is true, there's an important point for Hashem, as we mentioned earlier, he sticks out the... But that's after you've climbed to the highest peak, and you've entered into that Heichal HaRotzim, that the highest place. So then Hashem will embrace you and take you in. So therefore, davening is man's reaching out to God. And therefore, being that man's reaching out to God, it's coming from man, ultimately it's finite. It has an end. It won't last forever. Torah is Hashem reaching to you. Even though what we learned Torah, we're calling Him, but it's His words. You're not saying your words, not human words. It's God's words. And as a result of that, Torah has something of the infinity, and therefore it has no limits, no space, it can be everywhere. Hayna de Torah. Shenem avedibarta bom shitcha b'leith left. The Zash and Yikrohu be MS. Hashem is close to those who call him in truth. They ain't MS, Elatayr. And as it also says, Svas MS Dasketikrin La'ad. The language of truth will be established forever. Ki Ahavaham is Galavitzvilah. The love that is revealed in davening, Lefishahi Bizman, because it's under the domain of time. Lekachoy Lefis and Voiveres Acharatzvilah. That's what it means after davening. And by the way, the Gemara calls davening chayesha, the life of an hour, of a time. It's a time thing. But davening, and that's why davening is different every day. One day high, one day low. You're learning Torah, the godliness of your Torah isn't different. The same. Torah is beyond time. And how do you know Torah is beyond time? What do we say about it? Today. It means every day God commanded us today because it has no time. Why? Because it's a noichi mitzvah. It's Hashem commanding him. To oirin say baruch hu hasayiv kolam, and that encompasses all worlds. Elakach nema by hayoyim. That's why it says today. He kol makam shenema hayoyim. Because every time it says hayoyim, pirish laoylam alolmei alamim. It means forever and ever. She'ein lo bittul vehetsik. It has no interruption. It lasts forever. Yes. No, it doesn't matter. Torah, when a person is going to, however.
What language
is it? No, that makes sense. However, the thing is, to be aware of all this in Torah when you study, it connects you first at the davening. The davening opens you up that later when you learn Torah, this becomes part of it. The person just says, I'm going to learn Torah, without the davening. So all you have is a shell of Torah. You're not becoming yes. Put it this way. Consciously, you're in a higher level than that. But what's really taking place in Neshama is much higher things taking place in the Torah. And being that, here's the thing. Being that by davening, it's a higher conscious experience, that's what takes more preparation. Because you prepare your conscious state of mind. No. You're more physical at that time, but your neshama is experiencing something much deeper and higher on the deeper levels of your soul. Yeah, that's precisely the reason. Because it's something, you know, the Alter Rebbe, I didn't get into this, but in the other minor from the Alter Rebbe, which is parallel to this, and in the Mittler Rebbe's minor on this, the main difference is he explains that davening is mamali kalamim and Torah is soviv kalamim. Soviv doesn't need any pre-qualifications. But mamali needs qualifications, and that's why it's higher. But on the other hand, we benefit more in our lives, in our spiritual development, from the mamali experience and the davening and so forth, because it opens us up more. We have to relate to it more. That's right. No, Hayom is saying that in your day that you're in that day of time, and this moment of time, I'm transmitting what is beyond time, so it's really Hayom, so there is no time. Because every day is today, Mamash. Huh? No, because the Hayom is emphasizing more that the fact that there isn't time, because the Shanoshim of Tzadcho, you wouldn't have any awareness if it's time or not. The Shem commanded us. Shanoshim of Tzadcho Hayom today, and it's continuously today. Ah, let's go a little further. Now the Rebbe is going to explain the next part of the pasuk. He says, "Kishishma bikoy l'Hashem alakeh." Listen in the voice. And he says, "Lishma es kol mitzvah." What is the performance, the observance of all the mitzvahs? He says, however, the yisoid of Torah is based on mitzvahs say, on positive commandments, and mitzvahs loisah say, and prohibitive commandments. Haksuvim, but that are written. That's what Torah is all about. And therefore, ain eiding seif baruch hushayim is galal piatayim. So the infinite light does not dwell and reveal itself according to the Torah, lias kavua b'leiv and nefesh, in order for it to be set in man's heart and in man's soul, kiyam mitzvah asay or mitzvah lois asay. One first has to make sure to fulfill the positive mitzvah and fulfill the negative, the prohibited mitzvah. Meaning, if a person is non-observant and is not doing the mitzvah, and he's just studying Torah. So again, there's a problem. Even though we said before that Torah comes and whatever, it's it, right? But it still needs, Torah is a transmission. But you need a vessel. And the mitzvahs are the vessel. Because without the vessel, there's no place for the Torah to come.
But they're learning
before, it's not in Torah. No, but they're not, there's nothing to stick to. The Torah doesn't have it. You can go. The godliness in the Torah doesn't have where to stick. There is no vessel. Who's the vessel? The physical body is not a vessel. What the vessel is, the holiness is a vessel. If your body is according to Torah to mitzvahs, then it's a vessel. As explained. What? That is a mitzvah. Yeah, but if there's all kinds of negative stuff there, if there's all kinds of negative things still in the body, that will not allow the holiness of the Torah to reside in the body. As he says, you have to get rid of the evil from amongst you. Why? Because God cannot live where there is bad. And God's eyes are very pure from seeing bad. He doesn't want to look where there is bad. He doesn't want to be where there is an odor. Well, commercial abay is just like a king. If you want to bring the king into a house, the king is willing to come. He accepted your invitation, but he's going to come in and it smells. He's going to leave. It needs to be swept up, and it needs to be washed and scrubbed. Shayim and nukim, the kol davar, it has to be cleaned. It's kol davar meluchlich from anything filthy. Shalayim to by shum nivol, there can't be any filth, the ashpan and dirt. Kach, so too. Today shayeh yalev mishkan umachin lashros giliyed insayf. In order, the heart should be a sanctuary, a dwelling place. Where God can dwell is with Hashem, with the infinite light can dwell, b'toychay inside, u'b'pnim yusayin in his inner self, tzarech l'tar es alev mikol ra. One has to purify and purge his heart from all evil. How is that? That's the point of the negative commands, to get rid of all that. Hen v'sur me'ra gamur, whether in turning away from literal bad stuff, b'isur, meaning prohibited averos, doing things that are prohibited. The hem bekibush midas rosh, and it also deals with one having to conquer negative midas, negative feelings, negative character traits. The nefesh kumaykas doesn't have to be an outright blatant sin. It can mean also a person who has anger and so forth, and these are all things that bring a certain impurity to the human being. And it doesn't allow God's light to register. Also, don't go astray after your hearts and after your eyes. Meaning a person has to watch out where he looks and so forth, and not to bring garbage into his mind. And the Pasuk says, don't go astray after your heart, that you are being led astray. It uses the word zonin. The Altarender says, Shakadim akasa b'loshim zaynim. Zaynim comes from the word zona. A zona means a prostitute. Himoy zayna like a zayna. Shasura labayla. But over here, a zayna also means a broader sense. A woman who has been, who has had relationships outside of her marriage with another man. So she becomes a zayna. And then what happens? She's prohibited to go back to her husband. A husband may not live with her if she had a relationship with outside, an extramarital relationship, so that prohibits her on her husband. So what does that mean? We are God's wife. And Hashem is going to live with us in that performance of a mitzvah. But once a person had relationships with Klipa, the person allows garbage into his life, to commit a sin and so forth, so that means you're becoming a recipient of Klipa. You're allowing Klipa, receiving pleasure from Klipa. So it's like having intimacy with Klipa. So the Jew's soul has lived with another man. And that is the other side of Klipa and Sitra Ach. So now she becomes prohibited to her husband. What? Yeah, it is. But Seifko's, oh, wasn't her will. But God is a Kohen. And a Kohen cannot live with the wife becomes his own, even if it was rape. That's the story with the Kohen. Is it between a Kohen and a regular person? A regular person, if God forbid a woman has been raped, so she can go back to her husband. But if the husband is a Kohen, even if it wasn't her fault, there's nothing they can do. Because she's rendered a zona and requires a divorce. It's the most horrific thing possible imaginable, but that's the halach. So now, in our case, so that was a quote. So he's saying is Atam Zani Shakada Makasa Veloshim Zainin Kemoi Zainesha Sura Labaila. Just like the Zona, which is Asr to her husband. Achre Asher Hitama, after she has become defiled. And therefore, so too, God cannot reside within the Jewish soul if the person has sinned. And so therefore, the person can do tshuva and erase it. But a person has not, you can't say, you know, and I'm learning Torah and I'm doing all these stuff and then I'm going ahead and I do whatever I want. It doesn't work that way. One has to purge himself from all things that chas v'shalom, there shouldn't be a zayna. And that's why the sages say, Kol Oimer Ein Li Ela Toidon. The person says, "I don't have any. I don't have anything else. I only have Torah. Torah is good enough for me. I'll still a Torah Ein Li, and even Torah doesn't have." Meaning, you think that you don't have anything else, but even that you don't have because there's no godliness in your Torah. Ki haTorah v'Pchinazu Asher Ein No B'Taharis Halev. The Torah in this level that is not with a pure heart, because one's heart is filthy, nikras pchinis paro ledarto, is called the gateway to the courtyard, shulamatma madregas ayira, even lower than fear. Meaning to say like this. Before we spoke and we said that we brought the Gemara in the beginning of the Maamar, which speaks about that Gemara says that a person who has Torah without the Yirat Shamayim, the fear of God, it's like someone who has the inner keys, but he doesn't have the outer keys. Which tells you that what? That Torah is what? Torah is the inner keys. Because you can't use it because you don't have the outer key. You don't have fear, fear is the outer key. However, the Gemara, two lines further, says something else. Gemara says, woe is to a person who doesn't have fear of God, because it's like a person who makes and builds an archway, he builds a gateway, a hole, an entrance to a courtyard, but he doesn't have a courtyard. So he has just a doorway. There's no courtyard, there's nothing there, and he made himself a beautiful, you know, and so what is the Gemara now comparing Torah without fear to a, you're not even in the courtyard. So it's interesting. Before we said that Torah is what? Torah is the inner, more than that, Torah is the inner, enters you to the inner home. It's just that if you don't have the outer keys, if you don't have fear, then you can't access that. Now it says Torah without fear. Which one is it? You don't even have the courtyard. You're still outside. So which one is it? So the Alter Rebbe is saying it depends what we mean Torah without fear. Torah without fear that we spoke in the beginning of the Maamar means that someone is not davening with high fear, but he's still an observant Jew keeping the mitzvahs. So then his Torah is Torah. There is godliness residing in the Torah. He cannot experience it. He remains oblivious to it because he first has to enter the outer courtyard so he can experience the high godliness. But at least his Torah is permeated with holiness and godliness. He or she might not be able to extract that and feel it, but it's there at least. So it's considered that they have the inner keys, but they don't have the outer keys. However, a person, ainly a Torah over here means, I don't have Torah, and he doesn't observe mitzvahs, and he's a sinner. And he just studies Torah because he likes that. So in that case, he's not even in the courtyard. He's still in the world of Klipa, still outside. That's like having a doorway without even a courtyard. Meaning, what do you mean a doorway? Because he's learning Torah. So, it means like this, a doorway like this. Because God is entering. Hashem does enter because Torah is still holy. So there is, a Jew learns Torah in his godliness, so it's like an entranceway. But Hashem doesn't have anywhere to enter into because there's no courtyard there. There's no person. There's no Kali whatsoever. So it just comes down because of sin, and God cannot be in his sin. So he comes, but he right away doesn't find a place to like sit down in, to stay, to rest. He brings it into the world momentarily, he can say in a sad sense, but there's no Kali, there's no place to hold it at all. We're holding over here. Yeah. The Lechain was all, as he's saying, Kiyah Toyra the Pchinazu Asher Eina B'Taharis Alei, Toyra on this level, that is not the Nikra Pchinaz Kara Ladarati. It's called the gate of the Shehila Matano Madrega Sayyid, even lower than here. The Zel, and that's why it says, Ki Sishma B'Koyla Hashem Alekecha, Lishmoy as Kol Mitzvayshof. Lishmoy means you have to have something to hold it, Lishma, to observe it, to hold this energy you're bringing into the Torah. I need a Kali. Aspirish Kamayim. Learn Torah. Okay, here he says Lishma Eskol Mitzvos means to watch the energy of the Torah in Kol Mitzvos, so with the mitzvahs, because the mitzvahs are going to hold it. Like it says, Kamay Hoylach Asacham and Yachkom Pirish Im Chacham. Dainu, She'im Mitzvahs, with the mitzvahs, Tia B'china Shmira, it will be a protection. The Anoichi Mitzvah Chayyim has something to be protected, and something to be held in. Hanem Shechas Ardei Atayda is drawn through Tayda. Lias La Shmira Vikiyim Belev, so that it should have a Shmira protection and it should stay in the heart. Bal Kimot Olam Vod, it shouldn't be lost.
Because someone is doing
Mitzvah. The Mitzvah presents.
No.
He's saying no. He's saying the person has to perform all mitzvahs, meaning do all the mitzvahs and abstain from aveiros. But see, up till now he really explained only the negative mitzvahs. He explained why you need mitzvahs, not negative mitzvahs, I mean the negative, the prohibitive mitzvahs, the lois hashem. And he explained why, because if you don't have that, that creates a lichluch, a tinuf, and the king can't beat it. But that only explained the lois hashem. It didn't explain why you need the hashem. So that he's going to explain now. He explained that why the ases are also important to be a shmira for the mitzvahs. So he explained. He made the mitzvahs, he has beis b'chinas. In mitzvahs, there's two levels. Ki ha-mitzvahs am remachei varim, am amshichem achayis shal ha-nefesh. Mitzvahs are called the 248 limbs that draw chayis, the soul life, as we spoke earlier in the mind. Va-beis, another thing is, mitzvahs are, besides mitzvahs as being as wires that draw life, the mitzvah is pasha tekeli, is a vessel where everything gets set into, like vessels. Va'bei shem kelim lo'er anechas. It's a keli to the light that is being held. The doylek shem. It's like a candle, like a flame. A flame, you can have a flame. But the flame needs what? It needs a wick, and it needs oil, and more than anything else, it needs a glass to hold it all. Because without that, you have oil, you have a wick, but the oil will not go through the wick into the fire. It will just spread out and get all lost. So you need that kit. So he says that one. If you don't have the oil, and you don't have the wick, then the light can't shine at all. If you don't have the menorah meaning the actual candelabra, so the oil will just scatter. It's not going to be drawn after the wick, the istalaka, so automatically the light is going to evaporate, is going to dissipate, because there's nothing to hold on to. So studying Torah without performance of mitzvah, like a person lighting, getting a fire, or using a lighter or something, getting the match, but not putting under a candle to hold it. So it just puts out in a second, there's no benefit to it. So Torah sparks. Torah always brings the light, but it needs a wick, it needs oil, it needs a keli. And the mitzvahs are that, and the mitzvahs are say are that. Kacha mitzvah penas ner l'or ha-Torah. So the mitzvahs consider the ner to the light of the Torah. She'or ein soif baruch hu hanim shechum mizgala b'Torah, because the or ein soif that is drawn through the Torah, ein lo kiyam amiti, doesn't have a true kiyam kiyam ha-idei ha-mitzvahs. They are the protection, the observance that watch and sustain the light of there. That they should stand and be that became a mitzvah, but mice of the pile mamish in the literal performance of mitzvahs. Now then, namar, on this it says, v'hoya maisa hatzdaka shalom, that the act of tzedaka, maisa hatzdaka, the act of tzedaka. Now this aspect of mitzvahs. Is the most literal physical dimension of the mitzvah. Because there's another in the mitzvah, that draws the light down, like the Avarim. That's more the kavanah of the mitzvah. But when we're dealing over here with the mitzvah simply as a container, we're dealing with the mitzvah in the most technical sense. The physical action with all the details of halacha to the extreme perfection of the halacha of the mitzvah. And that's why over here you can emphasize. It says, "V'ha'ya ma'isa ha'tzedaka shalom." It's emphasizing not the tzedakah, the act of tzedakah. Tzedakah in its most literal sense of an act. And what does that accomplish? It accomplishes shalom, peace. What's peace? Peace means something that can bring two opposites together. And that is like this. Torah, it's all conveying spirituality, godliness. That has to connect it to something physical in this world. So the ma'isa, the mitzvah, is what holds it. And that's why mitzvah is called peace, because it brings peace and it connects both worlds, the spiritual and the physical world. That's when you have a keli. You have a keli to hold it all. And then when you study Torah, there's something to hold on to. The whole yah maisa tzedakah, shalom maisa dafka, she tzedakah, and why tzedakah? Because tzedakah doesn't only mean tzedakah. Tzedakah is klalas ha-mitzvahs. All mitzvahs are called tzedakah. Because he's going to explain in a minute why all mitzvahs are called tzedakah. Because they all have elachein nikra b'shem mitzvah stam. Tzedakah is called stam mitzvah in Yerushalmi. Whenever it says mitzvah, it doesn't say what mitzvah, it means tzedakah. Moshe Kassav also in Nehemiah, in the Navi by Nehemiah, it says, v'hemideinu aleinu mitzvahs, you've put upon us mitzvahs, losses, shlishis ha-shekel, to give a third of a shekel. I don't know the context of what it's talking about in Nehemiah, but it says you've placed upon me mitzvahs to give. And tell me one mitzvah. So you see that all mitzvahs are connected with giving tzedakah. They were talking about giving. But why is all mitzvahs called tzedakah? Because what is tzedakah? Tzedakah is you're giving to someone who doesn't have. So you're, and so that's the whole point of mitzvahs, to bring down to this lowly world godliness. Just like tzedakah is the drawing down of the energy to give life to those that are lowly, that is the fulfillment of all mitzvahs. Kula mikras Hashem tzedakah. Uksivas, it also says, with tzedakah you have established me. So tzedakah, so the mitzvah grounds it all, holds it all down. Pidish tchayinenemi means shayadeya tzedakah through tzedakah kasam machayim. You create a base, or mishkan, and a dwelling, la'ashros, erin tzayfaruch. She'ein, for the dwelling of the Ein Sof. She'ein le'ki u'mamatzav, he has nowhere to stand, he has nowhere to put his feet down, la'amoy, dalkanoy, to stand on his base. Ela yibay atztaka, only through atztaka. She'utchen is klawas ha'mitzvah, which is the general mitzvah. She'ein hein ha'shoimrim u'makayim u'mesa'oy. That's what protects and keeps the light. That's why the sages tell us, someone says, I don't have any Torah, I only have Torah itself. The simple meaning means, before he said, someone says, I don't have Torah, means the guy's a sinner. Over here he says, the simple meaning of Torah means he's not involved in Gemilas Chasadim. Not just someone saying, I'm not doing Averis. Torah means, I learn Torah and then I do whatever I want. No. The simple meaning of Chazal is, someone says, I'm not going to be involved in extra performance of Gemilas Chasadim, of mitzvahs. I'm a Torah Jew. And that's my contribution to the Jewish people, is that I study Torah. And I'm not going to be involved in helping other people, mitzvahs and so on. So it says, I feel a Torah Emor, why not? Because you know, it's not only the prohibitions that you have to be careful. You also need positive, the mitzvahs, and particularly tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim, because that's what creates that keli to hold the light. Shapirish Aparsha the Chatsara Shayasik the Tayyar Ubi Gimilas Chasadim. The Lord the Tayyar Lavad. The Indian idea is, Ki Atayyar Lavad Uwa Oyer. The Tayyar itself is light. But like Kaili, but there's no Kaili. The Ain like Kiyim Kiyim Ide. As it says, Nair Mitzvah of the Tayyar Or. There is the light. The Mitzvah is the Nair. The Nair refers to the Kaili. Kiyim Ide Gimilas Chasadim Klawish on Mitzvahs. Only to Klawish Chasadim, which is the general Mitzvah. We skip the parentheses. But the Zay Yuvan, and this will understand also what it says, Masha Kost. With this one, the one that wants to praise himself should take pride. Haskav Yidaya Oisi, one who knows me. Because I, God, do kindness and judgment and tzedakah in the land. What's the connection? One is going to know me. Haskil v'yadoos, which means to know Hashem. It's more like a Torah study type of a thing. Why? Because I do tzedakah and chesed. What is it? This is talking about action and this is talking about knowing. The answer is, to know me means, to know means to connect to the Ein Sof, the Or Ein Sof, and that you can't have unless you also have a basis on mitzvahs. But l'chor ain't a moving. It's not understood. Ki haskil v'yadoos, finally is da'chel akin to know Hashem etzlah. So now you would say, if you want to know Hashem, so study. Ki ani Hashem oisa chesed. I do chesed. Ach ima nel yuvan will be understood. Ki hasku v'yadoya oisi doesn't all mean just intellectual knowledge. It means to connect to the osi, to me myself. Pidish oisi mamish, my very being. Hu oirin soifar, hu mamish. Atzmu seimu husa kiviyach. His very being. I'm his gal of the Torah that is revealed in Torah. Ayin berabis nasa yresh perikasi. Ach ein zekim amiti. That can, doesn't have any feet to register. The person doing kindness and judgment, these are the vessels. And why are they the vessels? Why are the mitzvahs of the vessels? The Farish Hakasa the Pasuk explains, this is what I desire. To learn my meaning. We're dealing with something over here. God says, I need something, my very essence. I have to have something to. I have to reside in something. If you want me, I have to reside. I need a mitzvah. Why the mitzvah? This is here that I was emphasizing something incredible. It's not the qualities that the mitzvah possesses that make it machon mashifter, to make it a basis for his wisdom. Every mitzvah has its beauty. Oh, this mitzvah is so beautiful, it's so nice, it's so, everything you can say about a mitzvah that at least we appreciate. And even more than we appreciate, even the true significance of mitzvahs and what they really mean in the higher mystical, so deeper meanings, that's not what makes the mitzvah kelo the oyer insof. What makes the mitzvah kelo the oyer insof is one thing, the eloch hafak, this is what the Eibishter desires. Because we're dealing with such a sublime level of a lakus, we're dealing with the essence of God, nothing is a kelo to this. So the keli over here is not because of its quality. The keli is for one reason, that this is what I desire. This is what I desire, what Hashem desires. Hashem says, ki be'elo. It's merely not because of the quality of the mitzvah, it's because one thing, because he said, I desire this. Yeah, it's like a person in his house. It's like, you know, why do you say to someone, why do you have to have these colors, and why do you have to have your house this way? Why? This is not because of this, and because this is nice, and because this is my case. When you're dealing with your own private home, where you're going to live, you're living where you, something that you desire. It's not because of you explain it to someone. It doesn't have to be. It's because Azoyan Ishtandish, this is the way I desire it. And that's the ultimate thing about mitzvahs. This is the way God desired it. So why can't I have my lulav a little bit like this? What's wrong? I think it's just as pretty the other way. And even if I go according to Kabbalah, isn't it? If Halacha says it has to be so and so, this is the way. This is what the Eibishter desires. And then it's okay with him. It fits his taste. Yeah. For sure. And the Rebbe, I don't have time now because we don't have really time to get into this. The Rebbe is alluding to much more than what I'm saying over here. Because when the Rebbe before slipped in a few words, he says the mitzvah is two levels. There is a mitzvah just that they're avarim the malka, they're the limbs of the king, they draw the king. That's the mitzvah as being beautiful. That's the mitzvah, this mitzvah being this quality and that mitzvah. But that's all mamalek alam. It's drawing this aspect of it. But the fact that this is a dwelling to the very atzmus mohus, to the very essence of God, that has nothing to do with the qualities of the mitzvah. That's because of one thing, the elach hafatzti. Because this is my desire. This is because I want it. And no questions asked. And that's connected to the most physical element of the mitzvah. Because if it's more about the beauty of the mitzvah, then you can perform the mitzvahs in more. The mitzvahs would be beautiful if they're performed in on a more kavanadig way, in a more spiritual manner. But then you're lacking the chafatzti, because the ultimate desire of the Eibishter was the physical performance of the mitzvah, and its most concrete physical form. But it's funny. It's like the most physical, tangible aspect of the mitzvah connects to the highest aspect of the mitzvah. And that's, because if we were dealing with kavanas, then you would think that the more abstract your mitzvah is and performed in a more higher form, the more beautiful it is, the more, and we say dafka no. Because this aspect that, what? Yeah, it could be in a certain sense. That
so the more
yeah.
One learns about how to
do. You realize how the Alter Rebbe has included in this maimer every single thing? The halacha, the doing the mitzvah meticulously, and the studying of Torah, the davening, everything, the whole structure.
The bottom line then is to learn halacha about how to perform a mitzvah.
That's right.
In the best way according to
the best way, that's right. According to halacha. That's right. Do the halacha perfectly. Exactly as it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's it. And then, yeah, but when after he davens, and he desires that he has this explosion of love, and he studies Torah, and then he goes and he makes sure that he doesn't, that's on a whole different scale, because he knows, he has this whole experience, it's not just, you know. Batam, as he says, Batam Shem as far as Sarkasaki, the Eilach Afatzi, Kulam Shakach, all of Britannia's love. This is what came up in his desire. Liyasam mitzvah daskib chinas kelim. Because the mitzvah, daskib the mitzvah sa kelim. Legiliyar and Slaper. And here's the thing. As he's going to explain a little further in the minor, we're dealing with the essence of God that no one can be a Kaili. Mamala Kalalman, this can be a Kaili, that can be a Kaili. You know, you're dealing with. You can refine yourself to be a keli to it, to higher levels. But dealing with soul, there's this element of God that nothing is a keli. So if nothing is a keli, so you can have this more like, you know, those who believe, who understood that God is beyond everything, and therefore they believe that you can't say God is only in this or that. It's not that all this, detail of this, just, you know, become one with Him. Just, you know, God is everywhere and He's in everything, and He's, you know, and just, you know, become one with every person and everything, and become one with the tree and the one with, right? And it was that feeling of like, and in a sense it's true, because you want to be feeling higher than Cheshbon, you're higher than God. But here's the thing. Over there, there's only one thing that matters. Is where God wants to be. Nothing, you're right. There's a place where all Cheshbonos end. But there it ends to one thing, where Hashem says, Ida, and Hashem says, in mitzvahs, that's what I desire, and that's where I'm going to come. And that's where I'm going to transmit myself. And everything else is not. Yeah. You keep the eil of the kelim the gilui and stuff. Hashem noichi mitzav chayyim. She tchinas hayyim la soisa. In our day, who gilui are noichi mamish. Ayinu mahusle vatsunus kevi yachol. The very essence of God. Ma shenk in olam abo who gilui ziva ara be alma is only revelation. But that yovin, now let's continue quickly, very quickly. But that yovin this alam is put masha kasha miyal ba harash and miyachim kan kacha in the kichapayim. And this it says also, which the passage says, who will go up on the mountain of God? Who will stand in His holy place? Niki chapayim, one that is clean in hands. Shaloi kaladam zaycha lo'olam abo. Ki ima yedei yisurim shal gehenim v'nahar dini. He's asking an incredible question. By olam abo it says that a person, not everybody is gets to olam. I mean, gan eden. Olam abo meaning, then kol yisrael yashlom chenim olam abo. But gan eden, not everybody attains that. And even to attain that, what does the neshama need to go through? It's a whole process. Gehenim, kafakele, purification, purging, higher, nahar dinar. And then you get to olam abo. So you ask a simple question. Mitzvah, when you're doing a mitzvah, what? When you're doing a mitzvah, what? You're getting much higher than olam abo. You're getting yafeshua, the essence of God. So how come by a mitzvah don't we say we need all this preparation either? Why shouldn't one have to have that same preparation that you have for olam abo, at least for a mitzvah? The mitzvah is higher than that. So one should have to go through. When a person wants to do a mitzvah, they should say, "Yeah, you're not ready for a mitzvah. Who do you think you are to do a mitzvah? How dare you think you can do a mitzvah? You should go through this whole system of things." If olam abo, generally we mean olam abo, meaning if the bath, which is only a ray, requires so much purification in this, so that's the Rebbe's question. That's what the pasuk means. Miyala, who can go up there? You have to be clean. The kichapayim, your hands have to be clean. The bar levos, you have to have a pure heart. Shaloi kaladim zaychalayim abakim ayyidei yisurim shal gehenim unahar dinar. Kamayim rezal sholosh matanas toibis nasak as berkeli yisrael. Bekulam loynot nerabayidei yisurim. Three good gifts, three precious gifts God gave to the Jewish people, and all of them only came to us through suffering. Olam abak toibis eretz yisrael. And we know that the suffering of Olam Abba is Yisura Olam Abba, and Kisle Kefayim Yisura Olam Azeh, are double and this infinitely, so much greater than the suffering of this world. Ache Ein Erech, they have no comparison at all. Elochur Ein and Mugin, Sheh Amr Yafesh Ha'achat V'Tshuva Marshin Tzavim Ba'olam Azeh, Mekol Chai Olam Abba. So the performance of a mitzvah in this world is much greater than all the life of the world to come. V'lama Ba'olam Azeh Yachalis V'Tshuva Marshin Tzavim. So how come in this world one can do tshuva and do good deeds? They ain't tzaydach yisurim kol kach, and you don't need so much suffering. We have a little suffering, but not so much. Kamay l'chay olam abba, as to the world to come. Acha in yinu, the idea is, yisha olam abba hu gili aziz. It's only the revelation of the radiance. And that's the general difference. I mean, it's a long discussion, is that there it's namali kalam. Namali means that God is adjusting to every level. And when He adjusts, it means that you have to be a keli, because He's adjusting. The oil comes into a keli. Hashem is fitting Himself to every keli. If you want to be a Kaili to the higher life, you have to become a more of a Kaili. To be a Kaili, you have to be polished. But mitzvahs, we're introducing something of God that is so beyond that nothing can be a Kaili. Even the most refined, highest, most spiritual being that has refined itself to the utmost of refinement cannot be refined to a mitzvah. So if we're going to wait trillions of years for a person or even for a malach to appear himself for a mitzvah, will never get there. So the olam abo, which is only a ray, for that you can prepare yourself. And the more you prepare, the more the revelation. But mitzvahs are something which is so beyond that any nivra created can never get there with all the preparation. So how then can a mitzvah come? It's because God chooses, not because not because you're ready, because of his infinite capacity to come down and to commit him, to transmit himself. So therefore, if no one is a keli anyway, so the edelkeit doesn't make a difference. So grover, coarse or fine, makes no difference, because even the finest of the finer anyway is not a keli. And God chooses to come down in the midst of because this is what he desires. Not about us, it's about him already. And therefore, you can grab a yid with a ponytail, with big tattoos, and put on filament, you see. Sometimes people say, they were to put on filament on such a guy, what are you thinking? The irony is, if he's thinking that guy's not ready for the mitzvah, and you shmegegi what you are ready for the mitzvah. Who do you think you are? I mean, even if you talk to artist, even if he's here and you're here, but you know what a mitzvah is? A mitzvah isn't how dare you suggest that you are ready? You seem to be saying that this guy can only do a mitzvah if he's a keli to the mitzvah. And you're a keli to the mitzvah. Need I to remind you what you were thinking about last night? So you have to know that you don't feel if you're a keli. And even it, so therefore, that there's no one is a keli. What then? Hashem, you know, with his infinite kindness, has given us mitzvahs and said, here I am, and whether ready or not, here I come. Do a mitzvah and I'm going to connect to you. So no one is a keli anyway, so we're all equal. The biggest tzaddik and the biggest rush are equal when we're dealing with the Ein Sof. So that's what he's saying, to the Eilu Chafatzti, this is what I desire. The Ein, Lufish Oilam Abo, Gili Aziz, Shah Gili Azeo, Deres Yeridus Vishtalsos Hamadregis. That's already a system of adaptation. God is adapting. Shen Rabbis Vishoinus, Ukadei Liyaz Gili Zel, Chalechot Ve'echot, so in order that it should be that revelation, Kerola Lufi Maisha, Umadre Gosset, Mukhrachu Lizbo Yisurim, one needs to go through suffering in order to refine themselves. Kokach Lufiyach. Avo Ba'oilam Azeshe Yehiyah Gili Anoichi Mamish, here there's the revelation of Anoichi, Hinoi Olav Yisbarach Nemar, on God it says, Gam choshech layachshech. Even darkness cannot conceal. V'karev Hashem l'chol kairav, l'chol ha-shekro b'emes. Whoever is just, the one thing you need to have is a desire to connect to him. And then he connects to you. Do the mitzvah. Ki hu ha-shav u'mash v'kat min gat. By him, it's equal, the highest and the kat and the small one and the god one, the greatest one are all equal. V'amalachim shayalam ayim m'kayim kevayden. And the angels ask, where is the place of his glory? Ha'ina oirin seif baruch u'mamish she'ine musim. V'ayim le'm aloy kal ha'aretz. And they say that down here, Gashmis, this is where his glory is. Okay, we'll stop over here. What? I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a lot in the next piece, but...